The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And this really kicks off our first in-season show. We're back to three times a week. I know we weren't on yesterday. That's because EEI's Patriots Monday was on a Tuesday. But from now on, throughout the season, we will be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 12 to 2. And this is our first Wednesday show. We're really excited. The guys will be here any second. They're coming from open locker room because they scheduled that from 11:15 to noon today. So they're probably hoofing down the hallway to get here. Paul, Andy, and Eric. I'm Fred. Kevin's in the booth. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com and your phone calls at 508-298-0398. That is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Lots to talk about. Tennessee Titans coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock game. Patriots heading out to Nashville to play that. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about tonight's game and making our pick for the opening game of the NFL season, and we'll do,
how about you, Cowboys?
We'll do all the rest of our picks tomorrow on our Thursday show. But so much to talk about, personnel moves happening, you know, right up to the, you know, it seems like kickoff, and this seems to be a trend that we'll talk about because, you know, this wasn't the first year this happened. Now, last year, people expected it because of the lockout and teams were, you know, shifting players around because of the shortened preseason that they had and offseason, really. But this year, you know, it's a little odd that, you know, they're making all these personnel changes after having a full offseason, preseason, training camp, exhibition games, you know, but they don't seem settled on who they have. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But again, this is our first in-season Wednesday from 12 to 2. Just a little programming note, John Rook is back in the saddle at 2 o'clock with Patriots Playbook. And at 4 o'clock today, we'll debut a brand new show, Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. If you're a football fan in this area particularly, you know of Kerry and Cold Hard Football Facts. He's got a unique way of breaking down the NFL statistics and presenting them, you know, to you to kind of give you a little bit of a different insight into why things are happening around the NFL, why things happen, and why things might happen in the future. So that's debuting today at Wednesday today at 4 o'clock, and every Wednesday from now on, Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. You can reach him the same way you do us, webradio@patriots.com, or you can call the show 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're excited about that. That's part of our new 4-6 lineup from Tuesday through Thursday. So big, big things happening. We're back in the saddle, Paul. How do you feel about that?
Very excited. A lot of activity today in the Patriots locker room. A lot of big-time players talking, Freddie, including talking to us for PFW-TV. Rob Gronkowski will be the first.
Oh, I thought it was Aaron.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mix-up, so we went with an audible.
Yeah.
But, you know, switching from Hernandez to Gronkowski, perfectly acceptable.
And you did that already with him?
Yeah, we just
How'd
we
that
just
come
spoke.
On? We don't want to spoil it.
No, it was, I'm not going to, you know, pile it on to be something that it wasn't. Rob was a little bit more businesslike than we're normally accustomed to seeing him, and I think he's really excited. What came across to me was how excited he is to play the Titans on Sunday, and that's all. You know, I asked him about his contract. Right now, you know, that's great. I'm really excited about that, but really, right now, it's all about, you know. And he wanted to get it back to Tennessee and opening the season. There seems to be a lot of excitement on the part of the players in that regard. But he spoke. Brandon Lloyd spoke. Stephen Ridley, Devin McCourty, you know, a lot of frontline players were available today. And obviously, you know, the regular season is a handful of days away. A lot of guys talked about looking forward to the game tonight that ESPN is talking about right now with Dallas and New York. So, listen, kickoff 2012, Freddie, it's here.
Stephen Ridley talked. Is that a good sign that he will be ready to go?
I did not hear him speak. I'm just looking at Twitter and seeing that people said that he spoke. So I don't know for sure what his message was, but yeah, I would say that it's better that he did. You know, if his injury, I think, was long term, I'm not sure he'd be available right now.
Okay.
We should add that there's another tight end coming. We think.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna. Huamuanui.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Evidently, is what he went by in college.
What do you make
at
of
Illinois?
That?
Well, my guess is that a tight end will go if we sign a tight end. I know we had Kellen Winslow in for a workout yesterday.
Yeah.
And now Michael, you know, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the name without seeing it. Huamuanua, you know, whatever.
This is another guy from the Rams?
He's from the Rams, so it'd be another Josh McDaniels kind of connection. So it'd be interesting to see. And, you know, Mike Reese tweeted out earlier today that he is basically all but signed to the 53-man roster pending a physical. Other people are tweeting out that Kellen Winslow is all but signed, getting ready to take a physical. So I don't know which one of those is accurate.
All right, so let's get into the overall.
And Shanko designated for return IR is what Mary Paletti reported.
Okay.
That's new IR.
And I was told that
Fells is still on the team.
Fells is still here.
I just
in the locker room today.
Okay.
The Shanko thing. It may be in-season IR, and it may be regular IR, too. I mean, let's not dismiss that as a possibility.
Okay. So, you know, just as you were getting here, as Paul was getting here, I was talking about – I find it odd, all the personnel shuffling this close to to kickoff. And I could understand it last year because, you know, there were injuries and they were in, you know, they didn't have a full, you know, off season to get things ready, so – but this year it just seems a little odd. What is your sense? I mean,
I don't think there's any big. I think it's just guys are available. Now the interesting thing, every year he does this, but it's generally bottom of it's, you know, the tenants of the world. You know, a backup center. This year it's, you know, starting caliber tight ends. It's a, you know, trade for a young potential starter at receiver down the road. I think that's interesting that the names are bigger, but I just think it's what Bill says. You know. When opportunities are available, they probably didn't think Kellen Winslow would get cut. I mean, after Seattle trades for him, they probably didn't think he'd be cut. Well, now he's cut. We got to go see what, you know, what the deal is. Is he healthy? The thing I find interesting with Winslow is the implication was they got rid of the people that weren't going to be on board with the Schiano regime, the Schiano program, or Schiano, if you prefer that pronunciation. And now he's going to be a good fit with the Patriots. I'm a little hesitant on that one. You know, isn't Schiano supposed to be a disciple of Belichick, despite your PFW TV where you take a little different slant on that? But and so I'm a little hesitant there with
do you
Winslow.
Have the size of our guy Huamuanua? He can catch passes,
right?
But isn't he more of the Gronk mold? And
he's a true tight end.
Winslow is definitely more of the Hernandez mold.
Yeah. He's a true tight end.
No, I'm just not really having anything to do with what you just said. Just wondering.
True tight end.
Two different positions basically
still,
for the Patriots.
So now you have to have a true backup for Gronk, a true backup for Hernandez, Fells who can back up both. I mean, I'm kind of with Fred a little bit. What the hell's going on out there?
Is there anything to this whole idea of teams are more in sub-packages now, and the Patriots, and maybe it's Josh McDaniels, see something in fullback slash tight ends that if we can get the right group in here, we can really get some mismatches and kind of take offenses to the next phase in the NFL.
Theoretically, sure. Trying to get teams in base defense by using tight ends who they have versatile guys, even if Huamanamui is on the field.
Nice. I think that sounded right.
Oh, I'm going to go with it.
Sounded right.
Gronk and Hernandez remain either or. Receivers, blockers. So, yes, you have a versatility there. But part of me is a little – I think it's a good theory to try, but to tailor your personnel to it, to me, is a little
– Well, it's risky because, again, we've seen if one of – Aaron Hernandez or Gronkowski goes out, you've based your offense on that. Now,
Well, not now.
Well, that's
if
what
you
the,
sign
that's
Kellen
why
Winslow
they're doing
and Shanko comes back and he's healthy. Well, no, now you have actual.
Shanko's
a 50 catch guy.
No, that's
guy.
What I'm saying. So, in other words, if you're going to base your offense on that theory, you need those backups.
Right, but my issue is I know the spread as constituted worked for the New England Patriots. I know that was one of the best passing attacks in the NFL. I don't know that if they are going to go, and we don't have a fullback, right? I mean, we have that guy on the practice squad, right?
Catani.
No, he's gone.
No,
Catani's
he went to the practice squad.
He's on the practice squad.
Oh, I thought he was cut from the practice squad yesterday.
Oh, really?
Well, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that either.
Sam Kirkland today, according to our buddy Mike Rodak. Kirkland was cut from the practice squad today.
I was pretty sure that I saw yesterday.
Well, then we have James Devlin then. Either way, we have a fullback.
But
we
not
had
on the roster. And
the
Devlin guy is a former defensive lineman, whatever. But I just, this whole theory that we're going to tailor our personnel to this new philosophy in the idea that we're going to keep teams in base, and then we have Brady picking that apart through mismatches and audibles and that's great in theory. I want to see it in practice.
And does that theory also have to have a complementary running game as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, part of the idea of staying, quote-unquote, in base on defense is fearing that they're going to run the ball.
Right. You can't just show run with two tight ends out in the
field.
And
throw it.
Right.
But, you know, and as Paul would say, if they want to run, let them run. Now, as I said to Paul, we've kind of discussed this a little off-air. I think it's going to be different this year if, I know you're concerned about the running backs, and they're an if at this point, not a will be, but if they do what we think they can do and break runs, you know, turn a 4-yard run into 12, turn a 12 into 20, you know, Ridley had the 29.
And I'm on board with that.
If they can do that,
me too, I am too.
Then this could work very well.
That's one of the reasons why going into the season we were excited about the offense, because we think that the running game can be more dynamic and more of a playmaking type of running game, but
I thought
right now I'm worried about the injuries.
Out of one back sets of the traditional Patriots spread, I wasn't thinking, okay, now we're gonna go, you know, we're gonna go in the eye more, or we're gonna have an extra tight end on the field, we're gonna run them. I was just talking in spread sets, when they carry the ball, I think it'll be more productive because I think they've upgraded the potential playmaking ability.
Yep.
But now I think we're talking about more than that. Now we're talking about lining up in the eye, you know, or having
more traditional run sets.
Huamanamui?
Huamanawanui. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Huamanawanui.
Yeah.
I said to Paul, Don Cricky just wiped his brow.
I'm glad that's over. Yeah.
You know, it's a great theory, but we know from 2007 through now that the regular traditional Patriots spread, in its various ways it was enacted, worked. Was the among the best passing offenses in football. I just worry about the whole idea of fixing what ain't broke.
Yeah, and I would have the same kind of concerns because I have no issues offensively with this team. And I understand that you want to stay ahead of the curve, but I think that you at least need to see somebody show signs of consistently stopping you before you worry about overhauling it. Now, I don't think they're overhauling it either. I mean, I think that they're looking for another wrinkle to add in, and this might be it. But you know, the more I've thought about it, this is funny, Fred, because I'm kind of morphing into you a little bit. The more I'm thinking about the moves, the personnel moves at wide receiver, the more I'm on board with them. Still surprised. I'm still surprised that Branch got cut.
Well, I'm surprised they all got cut.
No, I'm only surprised that Branch got cut because I thought the other two, frankly, deserved to get cut. But I thought Branch had a pretty good summer overall, and I was surprised. And now when you look at it, I wonder if maybe it just was all about getting younger and doing some of the things that Andy really just described, the last few minutes here with the personnel groupings. They feel like their strength is at tight end, and we can have a third or fourth tight end that's better than our third or fourth wideout. And look at Deion Branch at best was going to be the number five option, right? You're going to have Branch and Lloyd and Welker,
right?
And you had Gronk and Hernandez. Right. So at best, your third tight end, your third wide receiver was going to be at best your fifth option.
That makes sense.
So that guy's got to be a special teamer. Julian Edelman is a special teamer. Greg Salas, according to Bill on Tuesday, seems to think can be a special teamer.
But
Deion Branch can't be a special teamer. Jabari Gaffney's not a special teamer.
Is it fair, though, to look at, in this case, the third wide receiver as a fifth option? Doesn't it?
Yes.
No, but
that's what it is.
In some instances, but doesn't it, isn't it more of what the defense is showing and what you're putting on the field? Because, there are some times when you're looking for more speed and, Gronkowski might, be off the field when a team, matches up a certain way, or, that third wide receiver becomes your third option.
No.
And I'm just saying that because last year, if there was an area where the Patriots were vulnerable, it's when, quote unquote, the Jets funneled things in the middle and Brady had trouble going, outside the hash marks to his receiver.
But now you have Lloyd.
That's why they've replaced Branch with Lloyd.
Right.
Because they think even if he doesn't duplicate or surpass Branch's production, it's a different way.
So are we saying that there's no way a defense can do what, the Jets or the Ravens were able to do?
I'm not saying that.
And take away a Lloyd.
Well, I mean, what is the search for the absolute perfection on offense that you can never have a bad play?
We're not talking bad play.
No, good defense can stop any good offense and vice versa. A good offense can beat any good defense. I mean, it's just a matter of who wins that play.
Well, I mean, I'm just going by what Brady said. Even this year, Brady, said that, and he kind of backed up and gave a shout out to Branch, but he said, we were really strong in the middle with Hernandez and Gronkowski and Wes Welker.
And I think that's why they got rid of all those guys, because they're strong in the middle. Gaffney and Branch, to me, the only difference would be Stallworth if he looked like he had anything left. I think we all agree he didn't. He didn't play very well. But to me, Gaffney and Branch, their strengths is between the numbers.
So did they bring these guys in to begin with because they thought they might be able to help in the middle, and then they realized, on the outside, and realized none of them will. Let's get rid of them all.
Yeah. I think they, theoretically, if Stallworth was still a down the field threat, maybe he'd still be here. I don't know. Had Branch just blown their doors off, he'd still be here. But you bring guys in with an idea what they're going to be, but you leave your options open to form your roster in whatever way the competition shakes out.
Yeah, I wouldn't close the door completely on Branch and probably Gaffney. One of those guys will probably be back at some point. So, the whole thing that we're talking about, I don't want to overstate it. Oh, they just walked away from those guys. No, if they need them, they probably can get them.
But Paul's right. You're nitpicking. You're, looking for perfection. I mean, the 2007 offense, what did it lack? A tight end.
No,
an elite tight end.
Right.
No,
that offense got stagnated.
Look,
that offense didn't put up 50 points every single game.
Any head coach will tell you, including Bill Belichick, you can always get better. And I think that's what offseasons are for, is look at where we were. How do we improve our team?
Right.
And they decided to do that.
They added
by
Brandon
replacing
Lloyd,
Branch
something
with
they didn't have.
Right. And
replacing Ben Jarvis Green Ellis with Stephen Ridley.
Right.
They think those are upgrades. Now, they had no choice about Solder
and
for Light.
I think we all agree. We think they're upgrades too, right?
Well, me does. I'm not sure we you does.
I do.
But at this point,
we you is worried about the offense.
At this point, I'm worried about Ridley's
health.
It's
a total role reversal, folks, by the way. Andy and I have been trying to talk Fred off the ledge
for
2 days.
I'm worried.
I think you are. It's all about perspective for you. And you hold the offense to a much higher standard because they're already better. Whereas the defense was so bad last year, you see signs of hope, and that answered some questions for you.
Right.
You've seen signs of hope on offense, too. If you watched the early portions of practice, you saw Brandon Lloyd make plays all over the field and down the field, beating Devin McCourty,
your top corner. Why didn't he make those plays in preseason?
I don't know. Why did Justin Francis take until the last preseason game to flash?
Well, he didn't. He flashed in camp.
Till the last preseason game.
Oh,
I said
the word game. In the game.
Some of these questions can't be answered. You have to take the full training camp summer.
I expected to see something with Lloyd and Brady that I haven't seen yet in games. And when it comes to the running backs.
But how many snaps did they have?
For whatever reason.
You never saw it with Randy Moss either, by the way, in a game, until it was in a game.
Well, I think Randy Moss had a little bit more of a track record in the league.
You know, he did.
Yeah.
But the question was still.
That's the last time I want to hear Randy Moss and Brandon Lloyd in the same sentence.
No. The question was still, is he done? People didn't know whether he was done or not.
Right.
There were some people who believed he was flat out done.
Do you remember before the start of the regular season? Because he started off in training camp, he was great. Then he pulled his hamstring. We said, peace out. Do you remember that Saturday before the opener, there was a story that circulated that there was a chance he could get released?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah,
obviously. So had Brandon Lloyd pulled his hamstring after the first week, would you feel better?
Strangely enough, I might, because
you are a weird cat.
It's a very interesting question.
I wouldn't know that
there was no rapport between Brady.
Right, exactly.
What you've seen is sort of troubling.
Right. So, can you blame me for saying, is this yet another wide receiver that can't get on the same page with Tom Brady? Because lately.
No, I can't blame you. But I also know that Deion Branch is out there.
Right. But he doesn't offer what they didn't have. So now we're back to where we were last year, which is great.
God, Super Bowl. God forbid we go to the Super Bowl with the number two offense in the NFL. God forbid.
But
I'm using your own argument.
Forget the team.
But I haven't even.
I'm just talking about offense.
And by the way, you think the defense is better. So if the offense is just as good and the defense is better based on what you've seen,
right.
Your team is better.
No, and I hear that. And that's
why are you being so negative?
No, I'm just. Look, I actually think that this Tennessee
Someone's
Titans game,
be in
10
show.
And 6,
I actually,
7 and 9, I'm just wondering.
I actually think this Tennessee Titans game, we're going to come out of that game and saying, boy, it's a good thing the defense got better because the Patriots had struggled to score points.
Well, we're playing a bad offense.
And I'm glad they are. You know,
I'm not sure we're going to be saying the first thing. I think we're going to be saying the second thing. It's a good thing we played a team that didn't have any offense.
Yeah, I think that,
because I kind of agree with you. I don't expect there to be 38 points like we have the last few years on opening day.
Right.
I think it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle. Now, I don't think we're going to get in the teens either. I think we'll be in the high 20s when all said and done. And oh, by the way, that's a really good offensive day. We're spoiled. This is the part
I'm
with Andy on. They've scored 450, 500 points. I actually heard our buddy Kerry Byrne. You were giving the plug for all the new shows, Freddie, this morning. I heard him on EEI. If the Patriots, we can all agree, have a pretty good offense. They have a chance to score a lot of points again this year. Do you realize they could become the first team ever to score 500 points four different times?
Is that right?
And it's all since 07. That's how good the offense has been lately. No one's ever done it more than once. We're looking to do it for a fourth time.
Did Kerry plug his show here?
Of course not.
Why?
I don't know.
That's terrible.
Fire him before he even.
No, he should.
That's a show.
He should be proud of what he's doing here.
He should.
You should let him know when you do those. Try to work in a plug.
Sure. So.
Or just don't try. Just do it.
But, I really feel, and I know I'm basing the defense on such a low bar. But I feel right now I have a hell of a lot more questions than I thought I would about the offense going into
the
first game.
But not more questions than you do about the defense, though, right?
Well,
you have more.
I have an overall question about the defense, about how good
because
or
really
bad they're going to be.
Because there's questions at like 9 out of 11 spots on defense. Right.
But I have, when it comes down to like who's going to be where and who's going to play, I think I pretty much know what's going to go on with the defense. With the offense. I mean, Vollmer had, two series so far in preseason? We don't know how he's going to be. I have more faith in Solder than most people, but everybody's questioning Solder.
But that's not new. That's my question. The questions we have now are the same questions we knew we were going to have in May,
no,
in June.
No, that's not true, because all three of us sat here and said, who cares what they're saying about the offensive line? We're not worried.
I wasn't worried about the offensive
line. I wasn't either.
I can show you my training camp preview on the offensive line where it says, major question, can Nate Solder fill the big shoes at left tackle? That was a question the day Matt Light retired.
But we thought everything else would be okay.
I'm not sure about that. We knew Brian Waters wasn't coming back.
We weren't the
Greg Bedard holdouts that said
September 1st
he's going to show
then
up.
Then I'm speaking for myself. When everyone else was, oh no, the sky's falling on the offensive line, I sat here and said, that's the least of my worry.
And I also didn't envision Ryan Wendell being a starting player, and I didn't envision Solder struggling.
And we thought Brian Waters would come back.
Well,
I didn't.
I wasn't sure he was going to come back.
And I don't really care about Wendell.
I didn't know,
we've shown you can put a Jag center on the field, and this offense will be number two in the NFL.
So, for the record,
I'm not worried about the offense.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the offensive line. Are you worried about the offensive line?
No more so than I was really coming in. I was worried that Nate Solder would be ready right away. That was my concern.
See,
I wasn't worried about the rest of the offensive line. I was worried that Solder, because
I'm almost the opposite.
Matt Light had such a great year last year, I was worried that Solder could do that.
No, I didn't think that he would play to Matt Light level, but I didn't really have a lot of concern about him.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit concerned.
And I've been pretty stubborn about it all along,
not being concerned.
I mean, what if Vollmer gets hurt in...
That's my major concern.
That's a huge thing, because what we see...
That's Andy's number one worry, because he's really down on Cannon.
I think Cannon blows.
Okay, and we're assuming Dan Connolly's going to start at right guard, right? Is he good enough to give support to both a center and a tackle?
Now you're getting to my concern. That's why I don't have a concern about the center if Waters was there. I'm concerned about the guys side by side. That is a legitimate concern. And if you tell me it's going to be Wendell, Connolly, Cannon... Now I'm concerned.
Now, and here's another thing about...
I pointed like Tom Karn on quick slants.
Offensive line mindset, okay? We talked about, you know, how the Patriots may want to keep teams in that base, which means you can't just show run. Every once in a while, you have to pop one to keep them honest. Well, if my offensive line's mindset is so worried about protecting Brady, it's tough to have that running mindset, too. And I worry about that.
Yeah, but if you have the running mindset... That makes it easier to pass protect as well.
How so? Explain that.
Because the defense isn't pinning their ears back. If they have the fear of the running game, they are playing the run. The play action is more valuable.
But then that means you have to establish the run early, right?
Well, I don't think so.
Isn't that not the Patriots' offensive game
plan? I think Ridley establishes in week one, and he has 8 carries for 95 yards, including a 47-yard run.
Okay, well then.
I think the next week... You don't necessarily have to establish it. That fear is already there that Stephen Ridley can pop.
That's a possibility. But I also think that what you're trying to do, Fred, and again, I'm sort of with Andy on this. I'm not necessarily a big advocate of it. I think what they're trying to do is dictate what the defense is looking for by their personnel. I think that by putting 2 tight ends and possibly 2 backs on the field, they're trying to tell the other team, we're running. But they don't really want to run all the time.
Right.
They want to try to get those tight ends with the other team's base defense on the field, and they feel like they're uncoverable to begin with. But now, if they have 2 corners that are out on the 2 wide receivers, you know, or 1 wide receiver on one side, depending on the personnel, if it's 2 tight ends and only 1 receiver, if you have 2 backs, now they want to get Aaron Hernandez out there on a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, linebackers aren't going to be able to cover him. Or, you know, maybe a small safety on Gronk. That's what they're looking to do, is keep you in base defense and then hit you for a big play in the passing game. And Andy's point is not necessarily you have to go out there and run the ball 25, 30 times.
But when you do, you need to be effective.
But you're telling the team, I'm going to run the ball right here. Now, if they don't adjust, if they keep their sub defenses on the field, which is what I think defenses should do.
Now Brady checks.
Now you run.
Right.
And you have to be, now is when you have to have the low carry, high average per carry numbers for Stephen Ridley that Andy talked about. Now 8 for 95 might be asking a little bit much, but
a 47 yarder in there.
No, I know. If he could pop a big run, you know, now defenses say, yeah, I can sit there and I can be stubborn and I can keep my 5 and 6 defensive backs on the field even when they go 2 tights, 2 running backs, or 12 personnel, as they say, you know. But I'm going to leave myself vulnerable to an easy 50-yard run. And that's what sometimes defenses look and say, hey, if I can make them go 10, 12 yards passing down the field on me at a time, that's better than letting them run the ball 50 yards down the
field. And this takes away, if this all works, this could increase your time of possession if you're running a little more often. keeps your defense off the field, and takes some pressure off Brady as he goes down the wrong side of 35.
Sure.
Now, and you're not necessarily putting yourself in those situations where you're exposing that concern that you have on the offensive line. Hey, it's 3rd and 12. Well, here they come, and Brady's going to take a hit on this play. You're limiting those if you're able to mix and match a little bit better. Now, like I said, if I were opposing defenses, I'd sit there and sub and say, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Danny Woodhead, you prove that you can do what Andy said and pop a 47-yarder every once in a while. Otherwise, I'll be content to get caught with sub packages on the field and let you run for 6 yards.
Right. Now, we all talked about in the preseason being excited about a possible 1-2 punch with Shane, with Vereen and Ridley. Vereen, I don't know what his status is injury-wise, so it doesn't look like he's going to play. And what if Ridley isn't 100%? How much does that affect what the Patriots are trying to do on Sunday?
Well, again, we're now really theorizing on top of a theory.
Well, we don't even know about the health. I mean,
right. Now you're bringing in health to what we don't really...
But Vereen's, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
You want your guys healthy. You want Ridley out there. You need a running back, yes.
Yeah.
I asked someone some questions and, you know, kind of along those lines today, and was still, I don't know. I don't know. I go, you know, it's perfectly acceptable to just say, I can't tell you, Paul.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of uncertainty with some of these guys in terms of health.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of those guys on offense that you talked about, the Shankos, Vereens, guys like that. Although Ridley was in the locker. Were you in on Ridley today? I wasn't either.
And Brandon Bolden's ready. I was in on him. One-on-one with the great one.
Great. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tyrone in Delaware says he's the first caller of the new season. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man?
We're doing great. How
hey,
you
Tyrone.
Doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. But anyway, I want to piggyback on something you guys have been saying. I want two things I want to say real quick. Andy, I love you, bro, and I agree with you about 85% of the time, but you've been wrong lately with this number two offense you've been talking about. I can remember last year, 5 teams we played, it's where you won in the Super Bowl, we struggled. I can remember we barely, and I know other teams, like the Detroit Lions, could light up anyone and 5 teams we played. So I don't even want to hear that. Secondly,
so the offense stinks.
No, I said offense stink. But what I'm saying.
So wait a minute. Let me hold on, Tyrone, for 1 second. I want to defend Andy for a second. So they played 18 games, and 5 times they struggled.
Defenses, man.
So 5 times.
Well, there aren't a lot of good defenses.
5 times
in the NFL.
They struggled out of 18. That sounds like, you know, one of the top offenses in football.
Yeah,
man.
When it mattered, we couldn't score. We scored 19 points in the Super Bowl. Bucky Brooks, you know.
17,
Brooks,
but that's okay.
Okay, Bucky Brooks, who I respect as an NFL writer. He wrote that the reason why we lost the Super Bowl because we didn't have a wide receiver. Because I don't want to piggyback on that's a long time ago, but we scored. That defense played good enough that day to win that game. We just couldn't score. So
why did we lose in 07? Because we didn't have a tight end.
The offense played
or
good
running
enough.
Back.
The offense played good enough to win the game too.
I would love to have an All-Pro receiver, All-Pro tight end, All-Pro running back. It's not realistic.
But the argument that got the argument that fans and some experts like Tyrone have been making is, sure, they beat up on these teams. But when you get in the playoffs, chances are you're going to meet the better defenses.
But Tyrone is arguing they lost the Super Bowl because they didn't have an outside receiver. And they went out and they got the best available outside receiver they could, right? In Brandon Lloyd?
So isn't the problem then, and I agree with Tyrone, when they go up against a good defense, it comes down. But to me, the problem isn't the offense. How much better can you make the offense so it's absolutely invulnerable to any defense? No, that's not going to happen. But what you can do is get a defense that can win you a game on those 5 times that you run up against a good defense, and they don't have one.
But then they had no playmakers on defense last year. I mean,
I know.
That was it.
I agree.
We can't expect now. We have now. I'm with Fred on this one, which I don't agree with Fred a lot. I'm being honest, but I'm with Fred with this one. Hey, the defense, along with the defense, the middle of the pack, 15-ish, 14-ish, I'll be happy. I'll take that and run.
I would, too.
If the defense is better and you have those 4 or 5 games that your offense struggles again this year, maybe you, instead of losing the Super Bowl 21-17, you win it 17-14, and everybody's happy. Because your defense got better, not because your offense got better.
Okay. All right, but, you know, that notion, that issue with me, this another concern I have, real quick, is this Brian Waters thing. Because I could remember last year. So I remember last year around this time, Brian Waters signed, and I was saying, yeah, this offensive line will be a little bit better. Now, I didn't expect him to play because I got NFL Sunday ticket, and I watched every snap, every game we played, especially the Baltimore game, which I was very impressed with. And Brian Waters, to my recollection, did not allow a sack on Brady all season long. And my man was just telling me, because he called me in the office and he said, yo, Baltimore just restructured McKinney deal because he had some problems. He didn't want to sign whatever because he really needed more money.
Right.
Because I don't think Brian Waters want to retire. But, you know, like I said, I agree with every move Bill Belichick did this season. I kind of had a feeling it was going with four tight ends this time around. Makes sense because we're so tight end oriented. I have no problem with Deion Branch get cut. I have no problem with nothing they did. But this here move here, yo, Brian Waters need to be on this team. It's no, if you say that New England premise is, oh, we got to do what's best for the team, whatever, whatever. I'm telling that cliche. You know what's best for the team, bro? Is to make sure Tom Brady stay upright. And when Brian Waters played, he did that. He did a good job.
It's hard to argue with that, Tyrone. He certainly...
Especially when we played Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore had to bring that pressure up the middle. Tom Brady got set the whole game.
People who are better graders of offensive line than me. And thanks for the call, Tyrone. That was a great call.
That was a good call. Just before you get on that,
yeah.
Updating, Rick Smith is the agent for Uh-Oh, and he says that Huamuamuamu he has signed.
Okay.
According to his agent, the Patriots
that
signed tight end.
Means Kellen Winslow
Michael
will not,
Humanawanui.
Right?
Humanawanui.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't.
I'm done assuming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't eliminate the Winslow part of it because there's still Mary Paletti is still tweeting that someone's telling her that they're going to sign him, too. So,
but, you know, to Tyrone's point, you know, people who claim to know offensive line play really well said that Brian Waters truly had an all-pro season. So let's look at his situation. Right now, his number has gone, you know, has gone to Hightower, 54, which is, you know, a sign that he's probably not coming back, or for whatever reason he hasn't come back so far. It hasn't gotten any better, that's for sure. There's nothing in his locker that's his.
But it's still there.
It's still there. His name is up.
His nameplate is still there.
His nameplate,
I thought that would be gone.
Which I found mildly surprising.
Yeah. His nameplate, well, he's under contract.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They gave away his jersey.
No, that is right. And that's the one thing I've been talking about all summer. Everybody's saying he's still there, and he's still this, he's still that. He has been under contract. I just thought there was a, like Andy, there was a change to me on Monday when they gave his number away. I thought that was kind
the only,
of a...
The only, what does he's under contract mean?
Well, but the point is, the only thing that Brian Waters can do football-wise right now is either come and play for the Patriots or retire because the Patriots own his rights.
Well...
So, and he hasn't retired yet.
No, I know. But the under contract thing, I don't really... You don't owe him the right to have a locker.
No. But I think
because he could show up, and when he knocks on the door, they say, oh, by the way, we are now waiving Brian Waters.
Yeah, but I don't know what the protocol is for teams that are in a dispute, and I don't even want to call it dispute. We have no idea. But when a guy who's under contract isn't there, I don't think you take down his locker. He's under contract.
Well, I don't think you give away his number either.
Well, then numbers, you know, numbers are numbers. You can always get another number. But,
you
know,
can always get another locker.
Well, not really. There's only so many of them. You know,
there's at least six empty, which I found interesting because Jeff Demps and Brad Herman share a locker.
Sharing one.
I think taking down his nameplate altogether
is more symbolic than giving his number away.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's
he wore that number in this team for 1 year. You know, it's not like
his number as a Patriot.
Not,
he's
54. It's not like you're taking away Willie McGinnis 55 or something like that. You
See,
know,
he sat in that locker for 1 year.
You know,
I think it's ridiculous. I think the number is far more symbolic than the locker.
Well, then I go back to what I said. It doesn't look like he's coming back then.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
I don't either.
I don't. And I haven't really felt that he was coming back for a couple of weeks now. But I haven't, unlike I mean, everybody else seems to be, been very definitive in their opinions either way. Andy and I have sort of been saying, I really don't know. I mean, why Bill Belichick is telling us absolutely nothing on this situation. The player spoke to one guy, as far as I know, and that was Greg Bedard before camp. And he basically told him nothing.
Well, the only thing I'll say on that guy, who is the only guy
I
believe
knowing, I kept holding out hope
talked
for.
To him, kept saying,
he's coming
I think
back.
He shows up September 1st, as soon as camp's over.
Right.
And that leads me to believe, potentially, that he could have been told something off the record,
or, I'll be back.
You can't report this, but I'll be back. And that hasn't come to fruition, which leads me to believe he didn't tell him anything, and he was just kind of speculating on his own that he'd be back.
Right. Speaking of Greg, by the way, he says that the Winslow Winslow just started his visit, no expectations heading in, likely a fact-finding mission for the emergency lists. So that would sort of run counter to what Mary Paletti's been reporting, that you know he's got to pass his physical and then he'll be signed.
Well, did she report that, or did she just say he's got to he's taking a physical?
She said that he expects to be signed.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Kellen Winslow would have to pass physical first. He fails.
But do you find it odd that they're making all these moves so close to kickoff?
No,
you know?
No, not really.
You don't.
I mean, Winslow just became available. I agree. It's
no, I know, but
as a guy who's had hellacious injuries in the past, to me, anytime you speak with him, you start with a physical and see if he still is healthy. Has
oh,
everything.
Sure, sure.
But especially for a team that already had an issue this offseason once with an injury situation.
All right, we haven't really touched on Greg Salas. He was, you know, a late signing after they got rid of
trade.
They purged all the wide receivers.
And, trade.
Yeah, they worked out a trade with.
I found that very interesting. Yeah. A late round pick in 2015, as far away as you can possibly get from right now. Because you can only trade 3 years, Paul?
Well, they probably said the closer we get to this year, the lower that compensation will be. So by 2015,
I think you're right.
Maybe it's higher compensation.
Well, they also, this year they're still lacking, right, Paul? The 20.
Yeah, I was surprised they wouldn't want that now, but maybe, you know, because.
Maybe Bill will be gone. He's like, screw you guys, you deal with it.
They don't have that many now. Maybe that's why they couldn't afford it.
Right, yeah, that's what I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
but she did.
I like that trick.
She didn't specifically say sign, but she says this was her original tweet, which is 43 minutes ago. Source says Kellen Winslow getting physical for Patriots, if hasn't already, likely move is Patriots putting Shanko on the IR, in-season IR.
That's nothing.
So she didn't say he was signing,
yeah,
but
I
that's certainly
that.
Her. That's certainly her implication.
Oh, I didn't read it that
if
way.
If he passes the physical, they got to put another tight end on IR. You don't think her point is that?
Well, I think her point is if they sign him, that's what they would do.
Yeah, I didn't think she said what you just said. I think she's reporting
two
different.
I just read it.
Yeah, I don't think she read it again.
Well, now I just scrolled.
I don't think she said if he passed a physical,
they will.
Shanko's going on.
Right.
No, she said. He's taking a physical. The next sentence was Shanko to IR.
Yeah, I think she's reporting two different facts.
No, well, I think what she was saying
text.
Is she's taking a physical. If they sign him, then a possible move would be to move Shanko to IR.
That's clearly what her inference was in 140 characters. If
that's
you're right, then that's a terrible tweet. Should be two separate tweets. If it's
not
two,
how I read it.
If it's two separate items, it shouldn't be in the same tweet.
Yeah, that's not how I read it.
Because to me, those two things are related.
I think she's saying someone would read this and say, well, how can they sign Winslow? What would they do? And then in the same tweet, she's saying this is what they would do if they signed him.
That's how I read it. I'm actually wondering, Andy, if maybe she's kind of getting confused and a source told her that the tight end's getting a physical and she thinks it's Winslow and it's the other one.
That could be.
Could be.
Yeah, there's a tight end getting a physical.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you talk to someone, they go, yeah, he's getting a physical. And you think he is one guy
he
is another guy.
It could be.
Sure.
Oh, good stuff.
I like Salas.
You do?
I think just because they didn't have a developmental young receiver, I kind of liked him coming out as a productive guy. He's a weird, I think he's a big slot receiver.
He's 6'1".
Yeah, he's a bigger slot guy.
So
what's his speed?
4.6, 4.55.
So not
No, not a
speed.
Burner.
Yeah.
No, certainly not a burner.
That's why he's not an outside guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, but his skill set, I think, is also why
he's not fast enough.
You have to be faster to be outside than inside?
Well, downfield threat, let's say.
Right, he's
not
that.
I mean, to be a deep threat, I would agree with
you. He's not that. But I think, you know, he's productive in a short time in St. Louis. I mean, it's a nice, to me, lower-level move. You know, maybe 2 years from now he's a bigger part of this offense, a complimentary guy, whatever.
Yep.
But I think it's a decent type of move that it was. You know, cuts are done. Somebody didn't want him. You make a trade that's worth nothing, and you might have a receiver.
How do you feel right now? Because the word depth was
full.
The word depth was used a lot when we brought in all these receivers. How do you feel about the Patriots' wide receiver depth?
Not good. I don't think it's overly strong.
I agree.
I mean, that's an issue because we know these guys get hurt.
But they didn't.
Every year, guys get hurt.
I would not feel – well, that's a lie. I would feel better if they had those veterans to fill in if Lloyd and Welker got hurt. If they had, you know, Branch and Gaffney to go out there instead of Lloyd and Welker, if they were hurt, yeah, I'd feel better about that than Salas and Edelman.
But maybe they don't care because maybe they're happy going with Gronk, Hernandez, and Kellen Winslow or whatever. Those are the backups. We have backup pass catchers. We don't have backup receivers.
All right, I agree.
The phones are stacking up. I thought you guys were going to bring pizza down.
I think.
It's not ready till 1.
Pizza's not ready. Is it coming from Papagino's?
Yeah, I texted Cecily. She said 1. So
okay.
I did not like Salas quite as much as Andy did coming out of the draft.
Let's pump the brakes. I didn't love him. I mean, I loved him for what he is.
I didn't, fifth round pick.
No, I'm just saying. Relative speaking, you know, to start at the bottom of my depth chart, and maybe he ends up better than Edelman as a true receiver.
He has a chance to do that, and that would be, I think, all dependent on his durability. And, you know, so far he's 0 for 1 in that regard. Now, I'm not going to hold a broken leg and say, oh, the guy's not durable. You know, you break your leg. I mean,
no, you would write it as tough break.
I saw a dig on Twitter today from Bedard directed at McDaniels. Because, you know, yet another guy from the Rams are coming in, and he said, yeah, you know, that offensive juggernaut, St. Louis Rams, and I guess people attacked him on Twitter. Do we see a little bit of this coming up now, where people are kind of questioning the personnel moves?
Heck yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Why are we taking everybody Josh wants? I think that's a fair criticism. Now, what I would argue is Bedard included, I believe, Denver in there. Denver... That first half of that season was kind of an offensive juggernaut. They were putting up
6-2,
big
right?
numbers, and a lot of people believe that went south when he started feuding with Nolan and the defense and blitz, and there was and that kind of petered out. But I mean, I think a lot of people have respect for Josh McDaniels' offensive acumen and what he can do. And you know, when you have Tom Brady, it makes the results better than when you have
even that Jags. Even that 6-2 record was under duress. I mean, he came in that preseason, immediately starts feuding with the projected starting quarterback, and goes into the season offensively under those conditions and where everybody had the spotlight. You know, this is going to be Josh McDaniels' Waterloo. You know, you can't do that as a young head coach to, you know, start fights with your quarterback right off the bat. And so there was a lot of reason to think that, boy, they're just going to fail, but they didn't.
He had a 1,400-yard receiver.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, there's something to be said, you know, about Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator that, you know, still remains true, that this guy knows what he's doing
but
when it comes to offenses.
Part of the criticism of him in Denver, and I've thrown this around Snidely, is he single-handedly tore down the talent base of one team.
But that's...
Single-handedly, by the way, is a shock because there's some question as to how much control Brian Zanders has.
Yeah, as a head coach, it got beyond him. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
No, but it looks now from afar that he has input in the personnel here.
And I think that's fair.
When it comes to the offense, absolutely.
You know, we have doubts.
Absolutely.
We have doubt about what happened in Denver, but I don't think there's much doubt about what Andy just said. Clearly, he has his hands involved in the moves that we've made.
There's no other way to say it.
And
right?
I'm not even just talking about the guys that are here now, like, you know, the Salases and whatever, and those guys. But you go, I mean, Gaffney, Stallworth, you know, those guys that he were with him in 07 here with this offense, I think he had a part in those guys too.
Well, I'm going to read a quick
fullbacks.
I want to read a quick email from Mike Gerken. He says, after seeing all the changes that Belichick has made to this roster, I want to get your thoughts on if you feel Belichick has made a fundamental change to his philosophy. It seems that he has gone the road of more unproven youth rather than experienced veterans. What do you think brought on this change? And do you like the way he's built the roster for this season? You know, I read that one because we talked about philosophy early in the show. Is it totally Bill's philosophy, or is this Josh's philosophy?
Doesn't matter. It's Bill. Bottom line is
As much as we know that Bill is in charge of everything and gets the final say, he does listen to his assistant coaches.
Listens is the key word there.
Right.
Bottom line is it's him.
But it's
success
him.
Success and failure, it's Bill.
He does get input, and if Josh makes a great case, for example,
input.
If Josh sells his case, you know, effectively enough, I think Bill's going to listen to him.
And if it doesn't work, it's on Bill.
Bill's fault.
No doubt about it.
That's all Andy and I are saying.
But I'm just saying, if I sell you on, we should do a spin-off publication called Revs Weekly, and you do it, is Mr. Kraft going to come yell at me or yell at you?
You're missing my point. Bill has the ultimate
right there.
Bill has the ultimate say.
Especially
and you know, Bill has the ultimate, you know, at the end of it, you know, the accountability. But all I'm simply saying is, what's the genesis of maybe this change in philosophy? It may not be Bill. It could be Josh.
It could be anything.
It could be anything.
But now, the bottom line is it's him.
And I thought that was an interesting, and I didn't read much of the special section. The Boston Globe had their special section come out today for the NFL, their season preview. And it's all about tight ends, the evolution of the tight end. And I thought our buddy Greg Bedard had an interesting anecdote. He didn't really get into a lot of the details, but the way he wrote it, when they were looking for the two tight ends, and you know, coming off the 09 season, they wanted, you know, one like the traditional inline blocker who could catch, that was bigger and more physical, and the other who was maybe a little bit smaller but more athletic and didn't matter if he blocked. They all agreed, you know, they being the Patriots scouts and coaching staff, brain trust, that Hernandez was the best at the latter. He was the best athletic pass catching tight end. But there was a lot of disagreement. They didn't know who the best one was. And then Greg wrote, but there was one guy who thought, there was at least one guy was convinced that Gronkowski was the best, and that was Bill Belichick. So we can talk about all the different things and the potential for philosophy changes and whatnot. And I agree with you, Fred, because I think clearly Josh McDaniels, as Andy said, has his fingerprints on these moves.
And I can guarantee if Bill O'Brien had the same ideas 2 years ago,
he would have been listening to Bill O'Brien as well.
I don't think as much.
Well, I disagree with you. I think that all of a sudden, because Josh is back, you're suddenly saying that Bill is listening more. I don't buy that.
I think
Bill has always been a smart guy
who
takes all of this information into consideration, and he makes the call. Every bit as much today as he did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, when he had, you know, 7 years ago with Charlie and Romeo. Now, I just think that you have a better working relationship the longer you're with somebody.
And
that you can't argue.
And there's a trust factor.
You know, when Scott Pioli was here, he clearly felt better with Scott than he probably does right now with Nick. You know, it's common. I mean, look at all the time that they spent together with Pioli, how many arguments they probably had over guys. He hasn't gone through that with Caserio as much. He'll get there.
I think the bigger issue is Josh has more to argue. Like, he spent years with these people.
Yeah.
It's I watched him once against the Niners, and he did this. It's Josh saying, I practice with the guy every single day. He can do X, Y,
It all adds up to Belichick trusting that judgment.
Yeah. And what if the judgment's wrong?
Well, that's the next point. You know, what if it's
then
wrong?
It's Belichick's
fault. To me, it's not.
No,
that's my
agree.
Point.
I am not saying that there is no less accountability for Bill Belichick. It all comes down to Bill Belichick. There's
sounds
no
like
doubt.
You're looking to scapegoat.
No, no, I'm just trying to.
As a kid,
when this doesn't work,
and, you know,
I'm just
a cheap shot. But I did ask you off the air. What would have to happen for you to say, "Oh, that's Bill's fault"? And
nothing.
You go, nothing.
but I do think it's fair to just try to figure out. Okay, you know, where is this all coming from?
Well, I think it's clearly that Josh has input.
Right.
Josh has major yoke in personnel moves.
Jay is reporting that I assume he's talking about Salas. He had a combine best 6.553 cone drill, and which is a quickness type of measurement, good
sure.
for a slot receiver.
Yeah,
so that's good to know.
Which is why we all thought it was a little weird that they drafted a slot receiver this year who was faster than quick.
Everyone now reporting
correct.
That
he's not here
Mike,
anymore.
Human and Awanui, or whatever, is signed.
Human.
Oh, yeah. No, his agent said that he is signed. So
even he goes by Human86 on Twitter. He doesn't even spell the whole name out.
But it'd be interesting to see if Winslow is still in the equation or if this was an instead of.
You know what'll happen? Human signs and they go, by the way, we're making you a tackle, you know. Did your agent tell you that? And he's our backup left tackle.
The phones are backing up, so let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Bitch.
Hey, what's going on, bitch?
How you doing?
I'm good. I just came from my physical. The Patriots want 7 tight ends for Sunday, so I think I got a pretty good shot at signing.
All right.
Did you pass?
Why not?
You know, I'm pretty versatile in the kicking game, so he wants me to work pretty much. these moves are definitely head-scratcher, and... you know, I certainly you would think Josh's fingerprint is written all over it. The thing about the wide receiver, actually, the thing that serves me the most is the depth. I'll see all offseason, you know, articles are written and moves were made that, all right, this is going to be a depth free agency, and you know, you're clearly drafting defense for the future. And after the cuts, it's like you have no depth at wide receiver. You have no depth along the offensive line. Just one tackle goes down. Basically, no depth at linebacker. You got Carpenter, right?
Yep.
So, where's the depth now? Where did that go?
That's a great question. Where is the depth on this team?
I think it is a great question because I think he's absolutely right. When you talked about this, when you talked about this in June, how do we all talk about it? Wow, what competition they're going to have at X, Y, and Z, and how deep they're going to be across the board. And it doesn't seem like this is a very deep team right now.
Well, yeah. But some of the depth isn't necessarily good depth. Like, I would argue they have depth at defensive end. I'm not sure it's good depth. As I said to you, they don't. They're none of them are proven. I'm not ready to say Francis, Ninkovich, Jones, Beckett, or Scott are any of the five are going to have a great year. I think Jones is going to be pretty good. Ninkovich has shown he can play a little bit, but as an every down, there's a lot of questions there, even though there's a lot of bodies.
Sure. Christian, thanks for the call. I had a drop your phone
bad,
line.
Bad cell. We got a bad cell.
Bad
cell.
Got to get a landline next time.
Let's go to Chicago and Kat. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, girl.
What's up, girl?
So I wanted to let you know, I think the right pronunciation is Manawanui.
Okay.
I thought the nickname came from his name.
Uh-oh,
I remember reading. That's why he goes by uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, because it's a Samoan, Tongan, you know.
So, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Manawanui.
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 Manawanui. That is definitely not the way it was pronounced in the press box that night, however.
Oh, the people here are idiots.
You said that, not me.
Uh-oh, Manawanui. It's got kind of like a rhythm to it.
Yeah,
it's
sing
like that, Muppet song there.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got, Kat?
We gave you one good hour. What are you looking for?
I'm interested to see him because I don't think the Rams did too much with him. You know, he didn't really have much of a shot there. So he's a big guy. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
And we know you like your men big.
Well, I like Samoans, too.
I do, too. Something we have in common.
Yeah. I think that's pretty great. So,
unfortunately, this offseason, when the Patriots signed a Samoan, we got the only wuss Samoan on the planet.
I know. I was so upset about Finene. It's awful. Awful. I certainly would take him over Kellen Winslow, so.
Yeah, I would, too. Kellen Winslow leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Not how I wanted to say that.
He didn't look great in the preseason. He was dropping things. I actually turned, during one of the games, he dropped a pass, and I looked at my husband, and I went, boy, he can't afford to do too much of that. He's going to be retired soon.
No, yeah. From the day he got in the league, he's had trouble. And, you know, is that Leopard ever going to change his spots? Probably not.
Yeah, right. You know? So, yeah, and I'm certainly more happy to see Manawanui than Shanko, too. So, you know.
All right.
At least youth, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, Kat. Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, guys.
The more I think about it, Manawanui. I like it.
Yeah, you got to sing it, though.
Much easier.
Go ahead, go.
No.
Manawanui.
That's what they used to do to Troy Polamalu.
Let's go down to North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, you over at the Democratic National Convention?
I rode by there yesterday, man.
What was going on there?
We can't blow you up because
okay, couldn't get by there, man. All the roads blocked off, you know, downtown.
Right. You know how those liberals are.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm with y'all earlier. I think Bill should give up the GM part and give somebody else that because depth wide receiver.
I knew it. I knew you were not going to be happy with wide receiver.
I mean, I'm not happy with the
But you said you're with us. I don't ever remember saying that.
Because I know good and well, Edelman, Slater, come on, special teamers. And you cut Gaffney, Stallworth, and Kerry Taylor. And then you get Silas, who's been hurt the whole time he's been in.
Whoa. He's been hurt once.
Hurt? Shoot. He don't play half the season with the Rams.
Not even.
Once.
Yeah,
but it's 1 year. He broke a leg.
Count me in the skeptical
I'm not
the Salas one. I think when you have a guy who is slow to begin with who breaks his leg, that's not a good combination.
That's not a good combination. I'm serious.
Broken leg is nothing.
I mean, at least get, you're talking about a young receiver.
Depends on if ligaments were torn.
At least give Kerry Taylor a shot. Man, we let loose a couple good young receivers that we should have kept and trained up, you know, and didn't do it, you know. And
Wait a minute. So Kerry Taylor's a good young receiver, but Greg Salas is garbage because he broke his leg.
Oh, I don't think I adhere to the Kerry Taylor.
I think the size and speed, like I said, they'd give him a better shot, but you're going to give Salas, the guy with a broken leg, a shot?
The leg's not broken anymore.
It's not broken now.
It ain't broken anymore, but he's still slow.
All right. Is Wes Welker slow?
Welker's slow, too, but like I said, you ain't got nobody really to threaten nobody but Lloyd. You know, is Slater slow?
No, Slater's fast.
Oh, yeah, but he ain't caught nothing wet.
He stinks. I agree with you. I don't want to see Slater on the field playing offense.
Eldridge, overall, and you might be doing the same thing I'm doing, which is nitpicking a little on the offense, but how do you think the offense is going to be this season?
Be honest with you?
Well, no, of course. Yeah.
From what I've seen in the preseason?
Yeah.
We're going to be hurting.
Really?
If the line can't protect Brady no better than that.
Okay, but if that's a big if. Do you think the line will, and how do you think the offense will be overall?
I think they'd be looking more towards Hernandez, Gronk, maybe Fales, if Fales getting in there, and Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah.
But once you double Lloyd or whatever and put some bodies on Butchkow, I think we hurt.
Okay, so they're doubling Lloyd, they're doubling Gronk, and they're doubling Hernandez. Okay.
No.
I think if that happens, I'm just running quarterback sneaks all day.
Notice, they got bigger safeties, whatever, they can run with our tight ends now. Everybody was mainly gearing up to stop.
What safeties can cover Hernandez and Gronk one-on-one? I think there's an absolute shortage of good safeties in the National Football League.
But even if they were all like Ed Reed.
I've been saying that for years.
How many guys do you think? Yeah, but you've been saying defense of Brandon Merriweather.
Blah, 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 blah. In defense of all these guys.
Look here.
Just stop listening to Fred. The offense is going
to
be fine.
I'm not listening to Fred.
Good.
Look here. San Francisco, we got to play them, correct?
Yes.
Heck of a defense. Baltimore, we got to play them.
Yes.
Heck of a defense.
Jets.
I think their defense is taking a step back. Minus Suggs.
Yeah, but you're not sure
about Denver.
Even if all of those teams.
Hold on now. Denver defense gave us, except for the playoffs.
Well, that's a big except.
Denver gave us a little problem.
All right. Eldridge, how many points out of curiosity did we score in Denver in the regular season game?
As I recall, they heated up and did okay in that second half.
They did okay the second half.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They scored 41 points. They scored 41 points in the regular season and 45 in the playoffs. That's not a defense that I'm concerned about in any way, shape, or form.
In fact, we were one of the teams that really, in the regular season, had its way with that defense. I know it started
out
slow.
I don't think Denver's terrible defensively, defense that I fear.
We put 40 on them twice in a month span.
they'll be better this year because they'll have a quarterback that will help them be better.
All right, Eldridge, go run over some liberals.
Thank you.
All right. I don't think I share quite Eldridge's fear of the offense.
Well, that's what you sound like.
But you do. You almost
way.
Phrased it the same
no,
way.
Other than Brady, Gronkowski,
Hernandez, and Welker, what do we have to count on?
What are you talking about?
Overall,
you keep saying it's the same as last year, as if that's like some sort
my
of
my
like,
overall thing is
derogatory.
I'm
term.
Surprised that I have so many questions about the offense going into the kickoff.
But I don't think that you have so many. I think you have like one.
I thought the
and yet you feel like everything's answered on defense. I don't feel like anything's answered.
I had no fear of the offensive line.
Okay, so that's one. I can't imagine you have any others.
I was looking at this 1-2 punch of Ridley and Vereen.
And I don't know why that suddenly changed.
Because of injuries.
Wait a minute. Injuries of what, though?
The running game sucked last year.
They haven't missed a game yet. And you're worried about injuries that haven't happened.
Okay, I'm still worried about it. Okay, can I be worried about it?
No, you're trying to bring you off the ledge.
You're allowed to be worried about anything you want to be worried about. But what I'm saying is,
and I'm worried that Brady and Lloyd won't be effective early in the season.
And if that happens, then what? So they have to rely on the other 3,000-yard guys they had from last year.
And up until last week, you know, we finally had an answer to it. But for a while, I was worried that Welker was dinged up. You know, now we know that it wasn't an injury. It was, you know, personal injury.
personal injury. And, you know, you're now counting things that you're not you were concerned about because you didn't know 2 weeks ago, and now you're not. You're counting that as a concern. You're concerned about one thing, the ability to protect Tom Brady.
I'm just going to keep at it. Until you guys are so on board with the Patriots, I'm just going to keep doing this because I love it.
Well, did you have a dream or something? Is there something –
It makes for a different dynamic to the show. I'll tell you that.
When it's Andy like and I being on with Felger. Is what it is.
And I'll get that. By the way,
when we end up, he's so negative, we end up being super positive.
Right. Right. Well,
that's why I'm known as Sunshine.com.
When he's the gloomiest person on the planet.
Yeah. That's not true. Why do you paint me out like that?
Where's his shirt today, Fred?
I don't know. Where is it? What are you doing?
I had to
that?
Do TV today.
For who?
All Access.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
And he couldn't change.
You could always change. You get your own.
Now
office.
I gotta have wardrobes in here.
Well, you claim to me you keep two of those shirts in your desk at all times because you're embarrassed by them.
I keep
you
one.
Don't wear them into the building. You put them on once you get. He's like a little kid who changes at school because he doesn't want to get beat up.
You don't like getting Dunkin' Donuts with your Patriots Football Weekly shirt.
He got made fun of at his kid's school the other day, so now he won't wear it.
Well, who that's made not, fun of you? Some 6 year old made fun of you, and now you can't wear the shirt.
No, one of the fathers goes, "You guys are wearing uniforms now, huh?" I
so sensitive.
What's his problem? What does he do?
He doesn't wear a uniform to work. He's a grown man.
A lot of people wear uniforms to work. You got a problem with policemen? you got a problem with firemen?
Yeah, that's the same.
You know? Well, what is it? I our men and women in uniform are our most valuable.
Oh, okay,
you know,
Fred. Thanks for taking the Indy Hart approach.
Hey, you know, you say grown people don't wear uniforms. I think they do. And we should be proud of it.
I'm proud of it, Fred.
Thank you, Andy.
Good, Andy. And I keep one in my drawer just in case one day I come in without one on and Fred says, "You have to put it on. That's why it's in my drawer. Just in case."
By the way, this came in from Canada. Chris, the new 2012 Patriots app looks great. Just downloaded last night. The roster breakdown by position is a good innovation, and the text is easier to read, but I still don't see a radio icon. Does this mean we still can't get Patriots games via live streaming audio? Is that going to happen this season? Not on the iPhone app.
Not on your life.
iPad and on Patriots.com, but not on the iPhone app. Can't do it.
Not gonna do
that's
it.
We're working on it, but that's a league thing. The iPhone app, we did just come out with a new version, and I mean it's a completely new version. It's not an update to the old app. This is a standalone new app. So if you have the Patriots app, you want to go to iTunes and download this new one and delete the old one. Because after a certain amount of weeks, we're going to stop supporting the old one.
Is this the iPad or iPhone?
No, iPhone.
Oh.
iPhone, Android. And right now, I think it's number 8 in iTunes. It's like,
I gotta do
it's
mine.
Going crazy. And we did add a bunch of new features to it. So we listened to what people were saying. They wanted a roster. They wanted a depth chart that you could click into.
More Andy.
More bios. So less Andy.
Is there an Andy tab?
Yeah, that's the off tab. So go to iTunes or Google Play and download Google Play. That today.
So if I Google Play, it'll come to it. Okay.
Nick in New Haven, Connecticut says, can teams place players without an injury on IR in order to save them for later? This has been a big topic. And or do teams place players with an injury on IR to save them for later, a la Demps? Personally, I think Belichick is using the minor non-season ending injury Demps had in order to place him on IR to keep him on the team without taking a roster spot this year so he can gain some weight and learn the playbook for next year. So do we think that's what he's stashing him?
Well, I don't know the injury. I don't know whether it was a 2-week injury, a 4-week injury, a 6-week injury. I have no idea. But I think that happens all the time. But I think guys have injuries all the time.
Yeah.
I think generally you can find it. They always say you could fail anybody on a physical at any time once the season begins. So they have injuries.
And on this topic, I'm going to continue my opposite, mentality. I don't understand why Belichick is getting any grief whatsoever for putting a guy with a minor injury on injury reserve. I don't see what's wrong with it. I don't understand why it's somehow gaming the system the way it was sort of portrayed by some people nationally. I think you work your roster whatever way you have to, as long as it's within the rules. And I don't see anything that's outside of the rules of putting a guy on injury reserve.
Brett in Illinois says, the picture Andy just tweeted of Paul next to Gronk is quite funny. Paul looks very egg-shaped next to Gronk.
And
I wonder what Gronk's left hand is doing. Judging by the looks on the two faces, Paul might be getting Gronked. Was he Gronking you during that interview? No?
I don't know.
Any funny business going on?
I actually tried to tweet it like an hour ago, and it kept saying, cannot send, cannot send. Why is that?
Maybe the connection down here was bad. I don't know.
Well, I tried it over the 3G. Then I tried it over Flying Elvis, the wireless network in the locker room, and I just, it wouldn't go.
Just gave up. All right.
I didn't give up. I kept trying.
Papagino's Pizza's here. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Never mind. I can't do that. Kevin left. Kevin's here now, so let's take a quick break now, and we'll be right back.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
BMW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
I believe the context of that was the 300 movie.
Yes.
wheels on.
But I have always thought that Subarus were a little boxy.
All right. Nick writes in at webradiopatriots.com. We'll dive right into the emails, and the Ace Ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. We're having, I think, some
trouble speaking.
Well, the Papagino's pizza with the pepperoni, it's just, you know, gives you a little, you know.
I'll tell you what it gives me, explosive diarrhea.
That's why you're not allowed to eat it.
That's why I can't eat it. Like, literally, I think it almost causes bleeding and internal issues.
Jeez.
That stuff is terrible. What it feels like.
Nick writes in, I'm thrilled that the season's finally here. I'm personally excited about Salas joining the roster. I remember liking him coming out of college as a late-round developmental guy. Do you think this trade, along with the Edelman increased production in training camp and the preseason, could spell the end of Welker in New England after this year?
No.
No.
I don't think they're replacing Wes Welker with Greg Salas and Julian Edelman right now.
Right.
Maybe I'll feel differently after the year.
Well,
maybe
he's talking about next year.
No, I know, but yeah. I don't see either of those guys ready to be a starting 16-game Wes Welker fill-in. And I'm not even saying 123 catches. I'm not sure either one of those is a starting caliber receiver right now.
Nick also says, Fred, calm down about the offense. They are, at minimum, as good as they were last year. The increased number of tight ends will help the O-line protect Brady, both through blocking help and short pass routes, and they will help take pressure off the defense. Chill out, Fred. Be more positive like Andy.
This is good for my reputation. Should I keep talking because you're not able to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nick says about the app, and I did give a little bit. The Android version is still the same version, just with an update. It's not a completely new version. It's just the iPhone one that's a new version. So all you have to do with Android is update your old one.
This is all very complicated.
Well, it's not really. I'm just making it complicated. let's see. Omar writes in, I'm super excited for the new season. Like you, I'm doing weekly predictions, and I did pretty good last year. I'm curious about the way you guys are keeping score. Can anyone explain the PFW pick thing to me? What does it mean when you say, I take the points or lay the points, or how is this translated into the scoring system? And lastly, what the heck is the Wilson-Hart power ranking?
It's, first of all, it's an index, and it's the greatest statistical ranking system or index that there is in the National Football League. It'll be out after week four. All games are complete in week four. We'll have our initial index release on Patriots.com and in Patriots Football Weekly Television. And it basically is been contributed to by a number of very influential, powerful, and learned football experts. And last year it was very very helpful and informative throughout the season.
Okay.
The spread talk is every game there's a spread that the Las Vegas line puts out there. So if the Patriots are a seven-point favorite on Sunday against Tennessee, that means they have to win by more than 7 points. So if you're laying the points, you're picking the favorite to win by more than seven. And if you're taking the points, that means you're taking the underdog to lose by less than seven.
And we do all that for...
Or win outright.
And we do all that for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Right. But it doesn't change the scoring. You still only get a win or a
loss.
And
we pick every game, you know, the four of us here on PFW in Progress, we pick every game, both the flat-out winner and also with the spread.
And I think that, you know, it's good to do the spread. I know that, you know, it gets into gambling and all that. We don't gamble here at all.
No, there's nothing on the line.
Yeah, but
why
the spread is good.
Which is why I do well.
Honestly,
if there was anything on the line, I wouldn't.
There are exceptions to this, but picking games straight up, meaning without the spread, just who's going to win, who's going to lose, you have to be pretty bad not to have a winning record in that, right?
I mean, one of us, I forget, one of us had a really, really bad year a couple of years ago. You still end up like 150 games over 500.
Right. You know,
I mean,
so,
it's amazing.
So that's why it's good to kind of, you know, do both. Who do you really think's going to win, and who do you think's going to win against the spread? Because, you know, straight up is it's fairly easy.
We need to make a pick today, by the way.
Oh, geez, we better get to it.
Right.
Show's running short here.
Just one game. We'll pick the rest of the schedule tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to have to miss most of the second half of the show tomorrow. I have a doctor's appointment at 1:30.
You're scheduling doctor's appointments during the
show?
Well,
this is a long time coming. I need to get it done.
He's actually going to die if he doesn't have it, Paul. Thanks for being sensitive.
Right. So, like Wes Welker said, it's a personal issue.
Well, which means he's going to miss each of the next 3 weeks of shows.
No, he'll be back on non-show days, but he won't be here for the show.
Let's see. Peter writes in.
Pete!
He's a project manager. He has that in his...
What projects are those?
I don't know. But anyway...
Because I don't really think much of project managers.
Oh.
Why is that?
I don't know. Don't we have some of those here that don't seem to do much?
Oh, boy. Peter says... on NFL.com, Damashek did a bit on NFL.com called NFL, pondering what would happen if Brady didn't get hurt in the 2008 season. Things that could happen. Patriots oust Dolphins as division champs. Patriots beat Steelers in the AFC Championship game. And Patriots beat Cardinals to win the Super Bowl. But better yet was the QB shuffle. If Brady hadn't gotten hurt, Castle remains a Patriot. Broncos don't chase him. Trade Cutler to Pioli and the Chiefs. KC goes to the Super Bowl, loses to the Giants. Vic goes to the Vikings. Castle to the Raiders. And Favre to the Bears. So that's interesting.
I kind of like the premise of the NFL, but I don't really understand all those other moves. Like, what is the basis for all the, you know?
Well,
like,
after...
How does Castle end up with, you know...
Right, after like, Castle example. Sticking with the Patriots, then everything else is kind of like, you know, what's
is,
the basis?
Is the premise like only Oakland would be dumb enough to take a backup quarterback who never played?
Maybe.
So, Christian says, sorry about the bad phone. And,
bitch.
And suck it, Andy.
We didn't talk about the quarterback situation at all either. Backup quarterback situation, I should say.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I'm a little bit more shocked that they didn't. You know, I'm not shocked that Mallett was number two. You know, ultimately, I'm more surprised they didn't just keep three.
Why?
Well, you know, why not? I mean, there's usually...
Why? Because you needed seven tight ends. I mean,
right.
No, but what's the point? If Hoyer has...
Well, if you have a backup quarterback that, you know, even has a little bit of value, you keep him until you can get a trade for him. You know, even if it's a seventh round
Who
pick.
Said he had value?
Mike Lombardi and other people.
No. No other people. Just friend of Bill Belichick, Mike Lombardi, who may have been trying to inflate the trade market for Brian Hoyer.
Possibly.
Because no one else told me, if I start a team today, I'd be going after him. He'd be my starter. Only one person, one fob.
And the reason I brought it up is I kind of thought this was going to be the result of it. but I just feel like, you know, Andy, Fred's right. And Michael Lombardi might have been the only one that said specifically, Cleveland has made a mistake. He should be a starting quarterback. But there's a lot of people out there that think, A, he should be a starting quarterback for about 10 teams that don't have quarterbacks. And B, if Brady were to go down, nothing to see here. This team's still a playoff team.
But
matter
who
of fact,
are these people?
Today I saw on Twitter that they were surprised they kept Mallett. Actually, it was a Greg Bedard tweet about not sure they would put Shanko on the in-season IR because they might not want to waste that with wasting quotes. And his premise was, you know, maybe a guy like Wilfork or Brady, should they be banged up on the short term, would be more valuable. And
when do you have to do that by?
I don't know when the deadline for that is.
Because there is a deadline,
is
right?
It September 10th?
So a guy that gets hurt...
Like,
after...
I don't think you can get hurt in week 8 and
no.
then, you know,
really?
Be out for 6 weeks.
It's not like a
back.
6-week IR. It's
okay.
The beginning of the season.
Yeah. But the premise was, and someone wrote back in, well, if we're putting Brady on in-season IR, really, that's the least of our problems is... having him come back because it's over, and he says it wouldn't be that way. And Greg answered, it wouldn't be that way with Hoyer.
Whoa.
And I'm sorry, but I just don't see it. And I've seen a lot of people say, I would feel better if Brady went down if Hoyer played 5 games. And I don't understand that. Based on what I saw in the summer, Hoyer was further along in his development in this offense. I think we can say that. But the performance that we saw was not any different. And in that regard, like Andy said, you're picking between two guys that aren't really ready. One guy is in his fourth year. It's time to cut the cord.
Yeah.
You know, I think they went with a guy who isn't ready that has far more physical skills than a guy who isn't ready without the physical skills. You know, and then when you take into consideration second year, fourth year, to me, it made a lot of sense. Now, was I surprised? Yeah, I was mildly surprised.
No, but I want to get back to the first thing you said. All these, like, people say this. I never heard anybody who had any actual credentials. I don't care if a reporter says it. I don't care. No offense to Jeff Howe, but if Jeff Howe says, well, you know, Hoyer's better and I think he could start somewhere, I want somebody who's a scout, who's in the NFL.
Sometimes these reporters talk to scouts and GMs.
I haven't heard anybody that, to me, had any credibility say that Brian Hoyer was worth X on the trade market and should be a starter in the NFL. It was all either Mike Lombardi, and I think he had an agenda, or that jag we had on this show, the NFL draft scout guy.
I forgot about
who
that.
Who thought he was, you know, God's gift and, you know, you got to take into account they're Patriots writers. No, you got to take into account you were carrying Mike Lombardi's water, who was carrying Bill Belichick's. You had your head up your ass. You hadn't actually talked to anybody in the league. Well, who in the league actually?
Well, I think that you got the
answer. He was a restricted free agent, and how many people called? As he told us on this program, 0.0.
And that's to me, the bottom line is that we asked him specifically about it, and he said he signed that tender so quickly because he didn't get any offers. There was no interest.
People keep falling back on Mike Lombardi.
He wanted to get here. He knew he wanted to settle in and get started in the offseason program and close that door because he didn't get any interest. And then, oh, by the way, he was available for anybody in the league through the waiver process. Didn't get claimed. Oh, by the way, since the waiver process ended, he's now been available for whatever you want to sign him to and still hasn't signed. Now, do I think his NFL career is over? No, I think he'll be in someone else's camp at some point. Maybe he catches on with the team this year.
Do you think Fred's listening? Because he's not.
I'm listening.
Because a blonde in boobs walked by.
Oh, I see his eyes lit up. But, you know, I figure at this point, if I stop, then no one's going to talk because there's a transfixed
look. Don't listen to him.
Fred, I'm looking right at you. You were transfixed.
I can listen and look.
I think
at
this
the same
time you actually pointed and like flailed.
But I think that you got your answer. If he was as valued a commodity as Mike Lombardi claimed he was,
right?
An NFL draft guy,
he would not be out of work for the better part of a week, which is that's what we're approaching now, right?
Right. Even Kevin O'Connell hooked up
multiple times.
Yeah. Quickly. And it wasn't just, and I know that it was a big part that they were playing us.
Right.
But that wasn't the only reason why they kept them all year.
Stay all year, yeah.
Yep.
And by the Hoyer, we have to say it again. Brian Hoyer, nice guy.
I
wish he were employed right now. I wish he were 10% better because I don't think he's that far from being a great career backup.
I think he has the head. I think he has the head for the game that you need. And, you know, what am I basing that on? You might call me a fraud because, you know, he's never played. You're right. I watch him play, and I see a guy that looks like he understands the position.
He knows
and
when
the
you
concepts.
Roll right and there's pass rush, you run back into the pass rush.
But I will say, on the field, it doesn't translate. You know, it's not just physical; it's mental on the field. It's there was a struggle there, and Andy just brought up one of them. He turned. I've seen him at least three times this preseason turn his back to the rush. That's the stuff I make fun of Flacco about all the time. Right? Like, I mean, you would think after 3, 4, 5 years, you're not turning your back to the oncoming rushers.
And
like
he can't do it even more because at least Flacco has the arm.
He has physical skills
and
that
the first round credentials. When you're the low guy, you have to, and don't have the arm, you kind of got to do everything perfectly.
Barry Insiong is the official Patriots on the road organizer. He says any Patriots fans that will be in Tennessee.
Is that on your card, Barry? Official on the road organizer?
On the road again.
Any Barry Patriots fans that will be in Tennessee this weekend are welcome to join the Patriots tailgate group on Saturday night at the Big River Grill on Broadway from 6 to 10 p.m. On Sunday, the group will be tailgating in the parking area right across from the Shelby Street Bridge. For more information about Tennessee or any other road game, join the Patriots tailgate Yahoo group or Facebook group.
Where are you going, Freddie? You going to that party?
I don't know. Maybe if it's free food and beer. The Big River Grill on Broadway from 6 to 10 p.m.
Is Broadway that main
Saturday
street?
Night. I don't know.
I saw Crabsheet tweeted out something about heading to Tennessee, and I was going to say, oh, no. But then I realized, wait, what do I care? I'm not going.
Thank God I'm not.
You guys want to go? You can go
no.
if you want.
No, not if he's going to be there. Throw him out of the press box.
So you've got the pregame social.
Correct.
In the morning.
Special guest host this week,
now,
John Rook.
Now, the postgame show.
Oh, John Rook. I forget.
Yeah, the postgame show. Adam Jones has a wedding, so John Rook will be hosting the postgame show.
Is he not hosting the pregame show?
No, I don't think so. Do you want him to?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that would have been awkward when we showed up and sat here and here and nobody sat in the chair that hosts.
I can have him do that. I told him we didn't. I thought you guys
would
be
Oh, no. I would very much like to have
Paul's
him.
A
I'll have to talk.
Host.
Kevin.
You're really hurting my feelings.
Is Rookie coming in?
He is in today.
Okay, he's not doing it from his mother's basement?
No.
Okay.
Can you see if he
can do
that?
I'll talk to him when he gets here.
Fred, can you?
Fred may need to negotiate.
Fred, can you do
the
that
price
for
might
me?
Go up.
Well, I'll throw him a couple ducats.
Can you do that for me, Fred?
Yeah.
If you could, I'd appreciate it.
Let's see. Steve from Winchester writes in the roster review podcast, I heard something really troubling.
Uh-oh.
Andy commented on the preseason Matt Cassel had, saying he was really negative on him at the time and was surprised at how well he played. That's dangerously close to saying he was not 100% right on every player evaluation. I'm not comfortable in a world where Andy is wrong.
Don't worry, I wasn't.
He also wants to know,
thought he was wrong once, but he was mistaken.
He also wants to know, is Michael Omanowuwu the best fifth tight end in football?
Certainly. Is he the fifth tight end? What do we have right now?
Well, if you count Shanko.
Gronk, Hernandez, Fells. Well, but we can't
I said if you count Shanko.
And we don't know where Winslow falls on the depth chart.
A lot of people talking about the new IR rule, and Tony wants to know why they didn't use that for Demps.
Because they didn't.
He's assuming it wasn't really a season-ending injury. That's the basis of his question.
Well, I'm assuming that, too, that between now and January 1st, he could have played again. Based on what we saw, the fact that he downplayed it afterwards, I'm assuming that is true. But he got here late. We don't know how much he was expected to contribute based on what he showed them in one-plus preseason games. I just don't think it's crazy to think they said, okay, well, this will be nice to have next year.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee, wants to know that now that we've had a glimpse of Demp's explosiveness, he's worried that when his contract expires, another team will throw ridiculous money at him and we won't see him in a Patriots uniform again. When does his contract expire?
He signed a three-year deal.
But even if he didn't, he'd be an exclusive rights free agent. Then he'd be a restricted free agent. The earliest you could lose him would be restricted free agency. He's guaranteed to be yours for 3 years.
And that's what he'll be when his contract expires, unless the Patriots cut ties with him before then.
Right. Don't worry about it. If they want to develop him, they will develop him.
Nick's in Victoria.
Hey, lucky Nick.
He says, first, EEI sucks. What? It's time for this show to go 5 days a week.
I think
agree.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
5 days a week, 4 hours a day.
And nothing else would get done.
Right.
Well, that's the problem.
Well, nothing else would be expected. We'd become radio guys.
Right. And
we do 5 days a week and a pregame show.
And we write more for the web, more opinion-based stuff. And
on
analytical.
Football. We've talked
football.
About this. Eric continues to handle the daily on the web. Paul and I alternate
Who
on
puts
football.
The paper together?
That would have to go away.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's part of this plan.
Second, do you think Hernandez...
Which we could also do the post-game show if we weren't doing the paper.
True.
So we'd add another show to...
It's not like we'd be doing less work, just different work.
Right.
We'd talk more.
Not buying?
I'm not sure it's possible
not buying
Paul
it.
Could talk more.
Second, do you think Hernandez,
no,
now that we have
not.
Him locked up, will play more of a receiver role since they keep bringing in more tight ends and booted all of the veteran receivers?
Yes.
Another reason I see this is due to his new contract. The Pats don't have to worry about paying him receiver money like you guys discussed prior to him signing the extension.
Right. So that's why he's going to catch 100 passes this year.
Well, the only thing about that.
So now,
we did talk about it, though, except for that he got the biggest tight end contract ever. So it's not like they got a bargain.
And right.
He's in good wide receiver land.
But did they?
He's not in great wide receiver land. He's in good
but
wide.
But did they get a bargain if they use him 90% as a wide receiver?
Not if he catches 79 balls for 990 yards and seven touchdowns.
He's not Calvin Johnson as a wide receiver.
Right, that's true. He'll
he's
never
Calvin
be that.
Johnson as a tight end.
No, but if he puts together 120 catches, 15 touchdowns,
now you
got a bargain.
Now you gain the system, yes.
But otherwise, you're paying him either as a very, very good tight end or a good wide receiver. One of the two.
On another note, my brother won an unreal man trip to New York, and part of it is tickets to see the Patriots versus the Jets. Should he wear a bulletproof vest under his Patriots jersey when he goes to the game?
No, he should go to that gate where they show their tatas.
I think pretty much.
That? Oh, I don't know if they do that anymore. I think they sort of frown upon that.
I think
the new
pretty
place.
Much anywhere, unless you're in Oakland and you wear a 49er jersey, if you behave yourself and you're fine.
I think in Oakland you should not wear any jersey.
Yeah. Just go bare-chested.
I told you, when I was on the sideline working for this team, I was told not to wear logo apparel that day. and I wore logo apparel every other game.
Yeah, I didn't.
I wouldn't wear
logos. I never attended a game as a fan in Oakland, so I can't comment on that.
Especially now if they're competitive, that'll even like churn up the juices a little.
I've never really had problems on the road. Well, I haven't.
If my brother hadn't.
Well, that's a whole. But that had nothing to do with like the stadium environment. That was just a guy
being a jerk.
Yeah,
you.
After the thing. But I think he's talking about no. I think he's talking about
he almost missed that
being in the stands and having guys like taunt you and stuff like that. Like I was in San Diego,
you're
Buffalo,
gonna get taunted.
New York. That never really happened to me.
But the implication is that in Oakland it can go over into something else.
Right. See, I agree with that, and I think
it
Oakland might be
to get
a little
threatening.
Bit different.
Right.
But this was like this could have happened anywhere. This wasn't like in the stands at the game.
Right.
This was walking home on like Bourbon Street. Right. A guy was just being a jerk.
And you just were something. Yeah, you.
No.
Paulie in L.A. says, since no one is manning the phones, I guess I'll send in an email. Andy, are you saying Brandon and Tom don't have a rapport?
No, Fred's saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying so
Andy
far
and
we
Andy and Paul are saying we're not worried about it.
I'm saying so far I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And
have you?
And I think that's accurate.
Yes, we saw it in the first week of the practice field. I thought they looked good. Then they had their
When they were just going out. I mean, it wasn't. There wasn't any complexity to it.
You make
early.
It sound like they were dating. They were just going.
But you know what I mean.
It hadn't become official then. They hadn't gone steady.
They haven't really, you know, gone deep into the route trees into the playbook. But, you know. So now, I think it.
But Paulie, just so you know, and Fred's backing this up. Fred is the one who is worried about the rapport between Lloyd and Brady.
I have not seen a rapport.
Andy and Paul, we're okay.
I have not seen the rapport in the preseason games that I would have hoped.
And that's largely accurate. We haven't seen it click.
And we've seen negative plays.
But we also said in
events.
Andy brought up a scenario, a hypothetical. Would you feel better if Lloyd had pulled his hamstring after a week of the preseason, the training camp, and didn't play in the preseason games? And Fred said, yeah, I think I would feel better.
And you'd also feel better if the last number 85 didn't poop himself in trying to learn the Patriots offense and build a rapport with Brady. So you're being swayed by a lot of outside factors.
Well, it's not just 85. There have been other guys that have come here. That
not as good as him and not as young as him.
Yeah. Do you hear about Ocho Cinco lately? They circled back with him on Hard Knocks. And I guess he's training really, you know, doing personal training at a local high school that.
Wait. Receiving or giving?
No, receiving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's working out at a high school where the field is sponsored by Stephen Ross, which is kind of awkward. But, you know, he just says that, you know, he has to start over. He's lost the two things he loves in life, and he's going to get them both back. But, you know, he just has to start completely over again.
Mirrors? He lost two mirrors?
So
I have to go with India now.
Yeah, it's.
I did see today he tweeted, anybody want to do dinner? I got 1,000 spots at so-and-so tonight, and I'm thinking, you might want to stop buying dinner for 1,000 fans at this point in your career.
Yeah.
That's so. When you look back and you say, how does a pro athlete go bankrupt? Well, that's how.
And I'm guessing it's a decent restaurant, so it's, you know, 40 or 50 bucks a head. It's not like it's Taco Bell.
You know, so I don't know if any team's going to take a chance on him at this point. He says he's got 4 more good years left.
I can't imagine.
That's what he said.
I cannot imagine that
it's
teams.
It's been 4 years since he had a good year.
I can't imagine that teams like the Jets have not made a move. So if that's the case, I'm not sure someone's going to give him a chance.
Right.
But it's the total
the
package.
The Jets have
now.
Nobody.
But he's now, we think he could be done physically.
Hell, well, that's what I think.
He beat his wife.
That's true.
Well, that's the thing.
It's on and
I want to feel sorry for him, but I can't. If he gave his wife a headbutt, I can't feel sorry for
the
him.
The one thing you could say sorry. After
I mean, I'm not happy that he did it.
Was that he wasn't a distraction. He didn't cause problems. He didn't do anything off the field that hurt the team. Then he goes there and headbutts his wife, maybe, allegedly. She may have headbutted him, possibly, allegedly. But now it's an off-field issue and an on-field issue. What's the point? What's left? There's nothing here.
Yeah, it's Alex in Maryland says, I'm really excited for the season. I was wondering what you thought about Greg Salas coming out of college. Did you want the Patriots to draft him? Where do you see him fitting in? Also, how has Sterling Moore played this season or preseason? Does he look like he could develop into a starting corner?
No.
Anyways, keep up the great work. Andy was really high on Salas. Paul wasn't.
I was not
much.
Really high.
That's why I laughed.
I thought he was a mid late round developmental prospect. Why are we watching soap operas?
I'm watching ESPN. But he was a fourth round pick?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I
which is where he was rated, and which is where I gave him the flat out.
I went back and looked, and that's exactly where NFL Draft Scout had him projected to go, and that's where he went.
The real one, not the wannabe guy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a stubborn streak, which obviously is something that I am guilty of. I don't like that type of receiver. The taller, slower, you know, possession guys don't really excite me. And that's what this guy is.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, says, Fred,
stick
to your guns, Fred. Those guys don't know from route trees.
That's right. They don't know that the offense stinks and we're just whistling past the graveyard.
You know, this is proven today, though, no matter what we say.
Please don't do that, though. Don't go around saying I think the offense stinks.
Now, what do you mean around?
I mean, we won't do it. You mean
can I say it on Toucher and Rich?
No. boss thinks that's unbelievable.
I shouldn't say that with Felger and Maz later?
You can say it with them.
Okay.
Because they know that you're kidding around.
So I should reshoot.
I'm not going to say it like I'm going to say it. No, I'm dead serious. He has concerns.
Footy Pajamas Kirsch is worried about the offense because that's what they call
it. But that's different than Fred thinks they stink.
Well, that's an Andyism.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What about Twitter?
Yeah, it's the same thing. All right. Canadian Mike in Florida says, hey, guys, great show as usual, even with Bizarro Fred in the studio. Now that
finally, someone who's actually been listening.
Now that we have the worst offense in the NFL, I should just jump off the Skyway Bridge here in Tampa. To me, the only major concern I have is the offensive line. However, I really think the O-line will be ready after a few games. I still have faith that Waters will be back. I think he's playing a game of chicken with Bill to see who will flinch first and leverage for big bucks. After they struggle through a couple of games, he will sign for really good money.
He has already signed
and then,
for really good money.
And then we will be Super Bowl bound. Meanwhile, play the prediction game. You ready?
Sure.
And Eric's here from practice. We'll get that in a second.
Eric's bye.
Under over, Brady passing yards,
season, I got
4,700.
No, you know. I missed it.
4,700 yards for Brady passing, over under.
Slightly under.
Push.
I think I've been swayed by Fred. I'm going to go under.
Lloyd, touchdowns, 8.
Under.
Under.
That's a good number. Push.
Ridley rushing, 1,100 yards.
Under.
Hernandez reception, 65.
Over. That's a terrible number. Have you not listened to the show all year?
Jeez. Patriots points.
I need to get angry.
Patriots points against ranking, 10. Points against, 10.
They over. Will be worse than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever that is, right. Over, under. That's a hard one.
I mean, no, I see what you mean. Yeah.
The larger number.
Yeah, the larger number.
Over
17th. Would seem to be better.
Right.
So that means.
But it's really,
top
it's 10, really
not. But I really want to go under.
Yeah.
They'll be better than that. Pro Bowler.
Thinks the defense is awesome and the offense stinks.
Pro Bowlers, 5. Five Pro Bowlers.
Brady, Gronk, Hernandez.
Mankins,
Will Fork. I'll take the over.
I'll take a push.
And Weeks Moss stays on the San Francisco roster before being cut. 5 weeks.
Over.
Okay.
Over. I don't think that one's a foregone conclusion, though.
He started out strong. How's he been doing over in San Francisco?
He's done nothing all preseason.
Hasn't done much. He is listed as their starter, I believe, though.
Yes, that's correct.
So.
I asked your question, by the way.
Did you get an answer?
I was starting to get a bad answer, so I went with a follow-up, and he gave me a great answer.
Nice.
Cool. And you popped your cherry recently, too, right?
Yeah.
What did you sell him?
DHC.
Oh. I thought you said DHC.
Eric's here. He's back not only from practice, but he's also back from Bill Belichick. Eric, fill us in on all your exploits this morning.
My exploits? Well,
he hasn't had an exploit in 8 years. We're well into that fact.
It's really hard to get excited when he's doing.
No, it's not hard for you to get excited when it's been 8 years.
It hasn't been 8 years.
A girl looks
first
at
of
you
all,
when you get excited.
It's been 42.
I'm not older than you, Paul.
I'm not.
He's not disputing the lifetime without sex. Just
if Obama has to show his birth certificate, you certainly do. So what do you got, Eric?
New names and faces at practice. Not all of them are familiar to those of us in the media. Bill actually started off acknowledging that there are transactions afoot, but they're not finalized yet.
What is going on?
He said there's a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, and he'll announce them all at once when they're official. But the word...
Uh-oh out there?
Was what?
Uh-oh out there?
Uh-oh was out there with number 47 on. Number 47 jersey.
So
for
an H-back.
Uh-oh, Manua. How do
Manawanui.
Manawanui.
Keith Byers' number, right? 47? Isn't that Keith Byers?
He was 41.
Yep. Remember 41 to 7?
Yeah.
Keith Byers
Keith
had the 41.
Had the 41.
Okay. And then we had dash 7.
So he was out there. There were reports. There were reports that Sam Kirkland, the receiver on the practice squad who was wearing number 19, was cut.
Rodak reported that.
Right, he did. But there was a receiver wearing number 19 out at practice today.
Uh-oh, Mike.
So we don't know if it was a new number 19 or not.
Or if it was an erroneous report. Now, was Eric Catani cut?
That was a report, too, and he was not out there. So
okay. I didn't catch that one yesterday. I missed that one
yes,
yesterday.
That happened
from the
later
same
in
outlet.
The day. Yeah. Happened later in the day.
Wow.
So
was Kelvin
Jeremiah,
Winslow
however,
out there?
Jeremiah Warren, who was reported to have taken Catani's place, was out there. So
is there any
the
chance that Catani was claimed?
By someone else?
Yeah.
I think we would have heard about it by now.
Yeah, I think that would be
plus
on the
wire.
Plus,
the report was Eric Catani was informed of his release from the Patriots practice squad.
I don't know why they word it that way, and not just that he was cut. Well, of course you're informed about your release. Why don't they just say he was released?
Because as a good reporter, you don't know for sure that he was actually released. You know that the player told you that he was informed of his release. It gives you an out, technically.
Well, like McKinney yesterday said that he was
that
cut,
he was gone,
and
right?
he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Is that still ongoing?
No.
No, he restructured.
He took a million pay
cut
or whatever.
Yeah, he did do it. Yeah. Yeah, that was negotiating, though. The whole that went on. Andy and I were talking about it as it was going on yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was clearly negotiating.
Well, sure, but I'm just saying the report could easily come out from a player that he's cut. Everyone runs with that, and it's not the fact.
Yeah, but I think that to your point, the was informed of is like kind of the version of when you say someone passed away instead of died.
Oh, I see.
Cut seems like it's
a euphemism.
Yeah. Cut seems like so negative. He was informed of his release.
So impersonal.
The only other news from practice, the absentee report remains the same. Vereen, Shanko, and McDonald, who is present but in the rehab shorts and T-shirts garb.
Civvies.
Yeah. And Patrick Chung no longer has the red no-contact jersey. He's back in blue.
Hallelujah.
You know what I actually felt good about him? When they sent out the photos from the craft bash over Saturday, and he was laughing it up in the sun and shooting baskets.
Well, I mean, even...
I knew he wasn't in a room with Mike
even
Wright.
Even Monday, he did his Patrick Chung thing where he comes in at the end and runs through the locker room.
He was in the locker
did that again
room
today,
for a while
too.
Today.
Yeah.
So that's good. No Kellen Winslow, though, out there.
No. No, but...
Didn't ride a motorcycle.
Do you have any insight on that in your kibitzing with the media?
Yes.
Specifically?
That he was in the building for a physical, reportedly, but that he may not have passed that said physical, and it was between him and Ho'o Manawanui.
Uh-oh.
And Uh-oh passed, and No-oh didn't. So, the soldier from
Ryu.
Yeah,
I have no interest in him. He just rubs me the wrong way. I've never liked him.
Winslow?
Yeah.
No interest whatsoever.
Just seems like a total...
To me, he's a cut-rate Hernandez.
But... To me, he's...
A poor man's Hernandez.
But he's like what people think Hernandez is, a punk. When Hernandez, I don't think
he's
really a punk.
Right.
I think Kellen Winslow is a punk.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, let's get to another punk on the team that you had a run-in
with. Oh, yeah.
Would you like to defend yourself in your feud that's brewing with Brandon Lloyd?
I think, once again, he's hyperbolizing a little bit much, but...
The man turned his back on you. Man, he could not have been more disrespectful.
Don't turn your back on me!
You.
The man was
I would have thrown effing in there.
He was disrespectful, and
For no reason.
No, for absolutely no reason. On, was it Sunday? I think, it was Sunday. He spoke to reporters, and, it was right after cuts were made. First time we got to talk to players. So I said, there were only four of you at the receiver position who made the final 53. Then they just traded for Salas, which makes five. It's still kind of a low number. Does that surprise you at all? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, you don't know what that I'm talking about. He said, what you just said. I said, about the roster? He said, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, oh, well, let me.
You don't notice who's in the meeting room?
I said, well, I said, about the roster. And he goes, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I said, all right, well, then, because I could tell he was starting to give attitude. So I said, well, let me inform you then.
So Eric gave him
a little bit back.
I'm okay with that.
I said, well, let me inform you. When cuts were made, there were four receivers, and they just traded for one. That makes five. Does that surprise you? He said, no. I said, why not? And he gave me that little half grin, half chuckle, and then turned his back to me and started answering someone else
And gave that person a great answer.
And it was the same, and it was the same question
in a
different
way. And gave
it a fabulous answer about how he had never been in an NFL camp with so much competition of NFL receivers before.
So,
and the guy's been around 10 years.
He, like many people, hates Eric.
For no reason.
Yeah, he, like many people, hates Eric for no reason.
I don't hate for no reason.
Yes,
no,
you do.
Paul,
not me.
I hate
Paul
others.
Has a reason.
Others. Right. I hate others, but I have
I
a reason.
Think that
you have a reason for hating me?
Sign. Oh, okay. Of what Greg Bedard wrote about, and he ruffles feathers, and he's a little moody and up and down. I mean, Eric kind of saw it within 10 seconds. He blew him off and turned his back on him and then gave a great answer to the other guy.
Yeah.
You may see the first step towards why this guy's had a lot of homes in the NFL.
And he was like that for the entire interview. He spoke maybe, you know, maybe 10 minutes, and he would alternate between giving these, like, tight-lipped, stuttering, muttering, I don't want to answer answers, to ha ha ha, laughing it up and joking and giving great long-winded answers.
So he's like Two-Face.
And he had a big group around him today in the locker room. He spoke for a while, so maybe today was one of his good days.
From what I hear, he went back and forth again today, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt that his MO in terms of personality has been when things are going good for him, meaning I'm getting my touches on the field, he's generally a good guy. And there's no doubt this guy's smart. I mean, you know, he's an intelligent guy. But he can be moody, you know, when things aren't, or, you know, when he...
That worries me.
Yeah, but why is he moody
I think you're
already?
Right.
Why is he moody already?
Well, I don't know.
What's there to be moody about?
It's Eric, so, you know, it could be anything.
No, but I think he did it again today.
Yeah.
But that worries me.
I'm much more worried about that than your thing.
Your scenario, if he doesn't get his touches and whatnot.
Yeah.
If that's what bothers him, that's
there
a concern.
I am more worried about that than his rapport
and there
with Brady.
Are
oh, I don't
guys,
care. Oh.
And Paul, you've been
I thought
around.
You meant with the media. I don't care about his rapport.
No, Brady. But Fred's thing. He's worried that our receiver doesn't have a rapport.
I mean, Paul, you've been around long enough to know there are some guys. I mean, back like when Ted Williams played. there are some guys, when they're in an interview, they've got that chip where they're you know, reading into the question and why is he asking me that? So,
yes.
You know, they get defensive right off the
like
bat.
Like Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah. Well, at times, Teddy was absolutely like
certainly.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, you're right. Now.
But why did he do it and then turn around and smile to the next guy and answer the question?
Well, strange.
Yeah.
So. Strange.
And it's not like he has his guys already. He's only been, I mean, Curran is his guy. He's been absolutely relating him since the day he got here.
I don't know if you've noticed any of this stuff, but I've seen some of the shows that Comcast does. And they'll be talking about it, and someone will say something along the lines of, well, he's really only had one good year. I mean, Curran will go ballistic
on
you.
He thinks he's the best deep receiver in the NFL.
Curran will go ballistic on you
if
you say, like, he's only had one good year.
It's a little embarrassing for TC.
So he must have an in with him.
Well, he talked to him like 700 times.
He's got a cell phone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's all in and defending him and carrying his water for him. All in.
All right.
Dan was going to headbutt me if he heard that.
One last quick little note from practice. They did have full pads today, and last year, you remember from the new CBA, you can only have 11 full practices in the first 11 weeks and 14 total for the season. So this is one in the 11 that they have to get in the first 11 weeks. Just
and
if you're keeping track at home.
Bill Belichick.
You shouldn't be.
Anything,
why would you are.
Anything out of Bill today that we want to talk about?
Aside from the good question that I got for Andy's story.
He said good question. You got a good question?
No. I'm just saying it was.
Oh, okay.
It was a good question with a good answer.
To say Eric at all?
We're disappointed.
No.
He said, good question, Eric.
No.
That must have been Andy's.
No. No. Just the fact that he acknowledged that there are transactions coming. And he gave one of the. Wow. I mean, Jared Cook, you would think, is the next Rob Gronkowski. The tight end for Tennessee. He thinks
I like me some Jared Cook.
Yeah,
yeah
he thinks
he's
disappointment.
He has,
one of the,
he has
the greatest
absolutely
players
been a
to come
disappointment, but
out of
he's another one of those guys,
years.
Andy, that I wonder if he were with a Rodgers or a Breeze or obviously Brady.
Could be.
I think he has some ability, but yeah, he's very inconsistent in Tennessee. He's like a 50 catch guy. People think he should be a 75 catch guy.
Doesn't he run like a 4.3?
He's pretty athletic for a tight end.
I think he flies. You haven't read any of them. It was just getting back to Bill and. People really liked that thing we did the other day about using Belichickian speak with your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the emails we had, the guy was like, you didn't pick up one kid. I'm only going to talk about the kids that are here.
I thought we did read one of those.
Oh, I don't know, but
yeah,
people seem to really like that. Yeah. And I'm thinking
we started something.
Curran should do a thing on. He does like skits on Quicksands, and that would be a funny skit if he like brought a camera crew home with him and talking about his kids and.
Yeah, it's like they did that thing after A Football Life that was kind of funny.
Right. But now, I mean, you could make this a weekly. I think it'd be borderline. In New England, it could be a sitcom. I don't think it would play really to the whole country, but in terms of Patriots fans,
well, and then
if you could do it on Patriots.com.
Half the people in New England would be offended by it, too, though, because you're making fun of our bill.
Yeah, that's true.
Dan and Pombay.
Well, we're not really making fun of him. We're just sort of,
it's okay. It's a shtick.
We're joking with him.
And he even knows it's a shtick. Don't tell me he doesn't.
Of course he does.
When he does WEEI and goes, yeah, yeah.
Did you happen to see
that? All right, guys, talk to you later. Good talking to you.
Did you happen to see that Patriots Monday 2 weeks ago? He was on with Holly.
Oh,
and
the
phone
call?
Yeah. I think it was Holly and Kirk
Minahan. Oh, my God. It was like pulling teeth.
He was in a coma for about 3 minutes. They asked him questions. And clearly, Holly had decided, he ain't answering any questions today, so I'm going to pull the plug.
Well,
and he goes, all right, Bill, we'll let you go. And all of a sudden, it was like a 4th of July parade was coming down the street.
I heard that thing.
All right, guys. Hey.
I heard that thing in its entirety, and I put part of the blame on Holly. He just conducted a terrible interview.
Wow.
You know? He did. I'm sorry. Glenn wasn't there. And it was Holly and
Kirk Minahan.
And I just thought that, you know, Holly had no rhythm to the questions. It was just really, really bad.
And it's weird that the guy spent a year with him behind the scenes, or 2 years behind the scenes to write
a book. Yeah, it was like he talked to him for the first time. And I don't know. You know,
you hear yesterday's when Glenn ended yesterday. With a Brian Waters question? And he said, you know, I know you only talk about the guys that are here and he's not here, but could he be here this year? And Bill said, could he be here this year? I guess. Like that, like almost grunted. And then Glenn didn't say anything. And you hear Diazzi go, yeah. Like he kind of mumbles because there's this awkward dead air that I thought Glenn would just say.
Was he?
All right, coach, thanks. We'll talk to you next week or something.
Were they here?
No, it was a phone.
So it was another phone one. The phone ones just
phone's
don't work
good.
With him.
But you have to hear Diazzi clearly got uncomfortable. Goes, and all Bill had said, I guess, like you would have thought Diazzi was. Oh, really? That's interesting.
Right, right.
Like it was classic radio.
Let's go. We'll do one more email. We're getting to the end of the show here. Remember that John Rook in the Patriots Playbook will be here at 2 o'clock.
And season premiere.
And at 4 o'clock, the debut of Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne.
Speaking of which.
So we're excited to add Kerry to the lineup. Dan in Pombay writes, and thanks for all the entertainment. I must say I'm pretty disappointed with the roster development within the last couple weeks. Why do you plan for one offensive scheme all off season, and then when it is beginning to come to fruition, you abandon all fullbacks and depth wide receivers and run out almost exactly last season's offense? I feel like we have missed a huge opportunity to go from very good to great. Just keeping one out of the three from Branch, Gaffney, and Starworth would have had a huge upgrade over Julian Edelman / Greg Salas combo now behind Wes and Lloyd. Do you see the team signing any of those guys after week one? I personally felt like Gaffney was ready to be a big-time contributor with the number five offensive option. Yeah, that's a little bit opposing each
other.
Yeah.
I would refer to who was the emailer?
He says, granted, in most schemes that's an oxymoron, but with injuries and spread formations, having Matt Slater split wide just doesn't make sense.
No, Matthew Slater's not going to be split wide, but who's the emailer?
This is Dan in Pombay.
Dan, I would go back to the beginning of the show. When you listen to the podcast, I would definitely go back to listen to what Andy, Fred, and I talked about with the offense. I don't think they abandoned their plan. I think their plan was to add tight ends and fullbacks. And, right now the fullbacks, it didn't work out because of injuries and other sort of things outside. Tony Fiametta left the team, for a personal reason. Spencer Larson's on IR. But I don't think that they abandoned their plan. I think this was what they wanted to do. You can argue whether or not you agree with it, but this is kind of – they wanted more tight ends, and they wanted some fullbacks and some flexibility to use two back sets. This is kind of what they wanted.
Okay. John.
Fred.
Welcome back.
I can't hear
this on.
John.
Is this
now
on?
It is.
There it is. Now it's on.
How
hello.
You doing?
It's working.
Hello.
Hello. How
come
are
on,
you?
Tampa.
How are you? Houston, hello.
How was your off season?
It was long.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was
too
very long.
Long.
Very long. Very long.
How come
glad to be back.
I had a show off season.
Well, it's because you have to keep working all the time. That's all.
So,
well, they force you to work here. You know, they crack the whip. And
Our main topic that we talked about when we started the show was I'm surprised
yes
going into the season that I have so
Fred thinks the offense stinks.
that there's so many questions on the offense. I never thought there would be this many questions about the Patriots offense going into the season.
Can we really say that, though, going through what we went through with the preseason? I mean, the preseason was god-awful. It was just terrible.
Well,
you
that's
can't
adding up to why I have questions.
Yeah, but I mean, they were 2-2 in the preseason last year and made the Super Bowl. They're 1-3 this year. Does that mean that they win one fewer games? I don't think the preseason has any relevancy to the regular season at all.
Especially for good teams.
You think Fred's crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy, because I will tell you I share at least one bit of sentiment perhaps with you.
Offensive line?
Yes!
Well, it's the only question on offense.
That's the only thing.
Fred has several, but that's
obviously
the only legitimate one.
We saw Tom take a pounding on, you know, like he didn't, you know, normally take before.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I think there's some questions, and until the, you know, enigma that is Brian Waters works that situation out, and I guess we'll know in a matter of hours, if not days, then I guess there's still some question marks. So I think that's legitimate, but I'm not ready to say that the offense has got, you know, problems or anything like that, not until we've seen it for a couple of weeks at least.
Fred's actual quote for All Access, and correct me if I'm wrong, was, besides Brady, Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez, what can we count on?
Well, I say everything else is a question mark.
That's enough.
You know, besides four all-pro players on one side of the ball, what can we count on?
Yeah.
Well, if your offensive line, you know, is having trouble.
And that doesn't include an all-pro named Mankins?
I grant you that one. That's a concern.
I don't grant you anything.
It's my only one.
I grant you being crazy right now for some reason.
All right. So John, what are you going to be
delving into?
Yeah,
well, it's Nitpick Wednesday, so
let's step inside the playbook.
Nothing to nitpick just yet.
Well, I tried, but he's not biting.
Nothing to nitpick just yet. Yeah. We'll spend at least we're going to stick around for the opening hour of the program, so we'll kind of get the very lay of the land, just in case there are those that tuned you guys in late, or, you know, I know I hate to say it, but some people would have set the appointment listening at 2 o'clock. So
sure,
you know,
the queen and the rook.
Right, there you go. So we'll kind of catch up on everything that's going through with the team as best as we can, knowing what we know at this stage of the game. And then our good friend Russell Baxter will join us.
Great.
In the 3 o'clock hour. Pro Great. Football guru himself.
You, Baxter!
Yes, indeed. And he will join us to kind of look at week one of the NFL. You know, we've got the first game tonight. Yep. We'll take a look not only at the Patriots, but divisional opponents.
What's the spread of the game tonight?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, we're going to make
it's three and
no
a half.
Idea.
Is it three
Giants
and a half?
By 3.5?
Yeah.
I'll
take the Giants to cover.
Yeah, you need to make the pick.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants.
Three and a what?
Hey.
Three and a half.
What do you got?
Where's this game?
It's at New York.
You know, they make the Super Bowl champion go on the road.
Anyone? Bueller?
Don't know what the spread is.
3.5.
So. 3.5. You just said 3.5. Hey!
I know. I was half paying attention. I'm writing my update.
Can you make
were hey paying attention?
Who do you like?
I like the Giants and the number.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Oh, Mr. Different over there.
Yep.
Andy, Giants. Eric, Giants.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yep. Yeah!
Paul's going to take the Giants to win, Dallas to cover, and Fred likes Dallas outright?
Right.
Okay. We'll be back with the rest of the picks
tomorrow.
On Thursday.
But Fred won't.
All right, John, have a good show.
Have a good season. We're here.
On your way out, say hello to Kerry Byrne, who will be coming in for Cold Hard Football Facts
Sounds
at 4
good.
O'clock, his debut. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com.
There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.